Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vigilance Press Podcast, Beacon City, Episode 3. Before we get started with the game tonight, I want to introduce our cast and crew, but I also want to give everybody a quick heads up. Vigilance Press, and I should have mentioned this in the last podcast, I apologize for not doing so, but you have a couple of days left to check out RPG Now's Christmas in July sale. Vigilance Press's products are all 25% off. For the duration. I see that from my sales, a lot of you figured this out already, but it's actually, if anybody's listening who hasn't checked it out, there's everything is 25% off, so just go nuts if you want to. We're not going to run out of inventory, so jump in there and grab what you want. And that's RPG Now or Drive-Through RPG. Either one. And in the coming weeks, there may be some lag between episodes just because we've got convention season coming up, and there may be some time stretches where I don't have time to get any podcasts done. So there may be some lulls between podcasts, but I'll see if I can't find some good interviews and set up some cool stuff at Gen Con to pay you guys back for being patient with me. But anyway, tonight we have four of our players with us tonight. Let me reintroduce you to Tali Gibson, who is playing Time Slip. Tali, how are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Before we get... I'm really glad that we could steal you away from InfernoCon today.
Yeah, I just wanted to actually real quick say that, I wanted to just... tell everybody thank you for coming and checking out the site. I've seen some new faces and some people mentioning the podcast, so that's been really cool. Also, I wanted to give James and his crew a big thank you. They were kind enough to give us some items to give out during the con today. So that was just personally, I think that was really cool, and I wanted to give my thanks on behalf of the site and all the players there today. So
sure. No, it was a good opportunity, we'll probably be doing some prize support for other upcoming internet-based conventions as that becomes more popular too. So we'll be making some announcements about that in the future as well. But yeah, InfernoCon. If you guys are playing, hope you guys are having a great time.
In fact, I have right after I get out of this game, I'm going to be GMing a PvP game set or using the DC Adventures rule set based on the DC Countdown Arena miniseries. So,
oh, cool.
So I got a full night of role playing ahead of me.
Awesome! All right,
terrific.
Hopefully, you don't lose your voice.
Yeah, that's usually what happens, but I was smart this time. I didn't do the full three segments of the whole day. I'm just doing two out of three, so hopefully the voice will still be here tomorrow.
When
I have yet another game to run. But anyway.
Yeah, no, not a glutton for punishment at all.
No.
And you've heard her voice, so let me go ahead and introduce you guys once more to Lynn Hill. Lynn, it's a pleasure
Hello.
To have you back.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Lynn is playing our Sorceress Supreme, the Jade Witch. So how are you? How are things going for you, Lynn?
It's a good day. We finally got some rain, so maybe we'll be able to breathe tonight. It's been so hot.
Oh.
I hate summer.
Wow, this has been a brutal summer for everyone. I don't think I'm being, or at least everyone in the North American continent. But it was crazy this year. We had, I mean, it's 100 here again today. I mean, I when I was living in Vegas, I was used to triple digit weather, but I've never had it consistently this hot here in Atlanta. It's ridiculous. But hopefully things will cool down soon, because I really need it to cool down soon. I'm tired of the heat.
Yeah, well, that's the fun part of gaming, right? Maybe the weather's decent in Beacon City and we don't have to think about the real world.
Yeah, maybe it can be raining again. Noted.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So that was Lynn Hill, and we also have two more members joining us tonight. We have four players. We're going to go next to Theron Bretz. Theron, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine.
And Theron is playing Starchild, our possibly half-human, half-alien character.
That's correct.
And how are things going for you these days, Theron? What have you been busy with?
Oh, mostly non-gaming stuff. So nothing.
You went to the LegoCon recently, didn't you?
I did take my son to the to Lego Fiesta, the Texas Lego convention. Actually, Rick, who we'll be hearing from, took his son as well. So that was quite the show, though. Terribly intimidating to see the things that those people do.
Cool. All right, Rick Jones, how are you doing tonight?
I'm better. I've been sick all week, but I am ready to play.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You've been. I was reading about your Xbox frustration this week on Facebook. Just. Don't you hate it when you're sick and you just can't muster the energy to do anything?
Yeah, that's my week.
So I'm glad to have you back among the living, just in time for the game.
Me too.
So and Theron of Rick of course is playing our deity, or at least demigod, Tempest.
That's me.
Yep. And the supposed son of Thor. So I only put these qualifiers in there to try and, you know, keep a level of mystery for the readers, a.k.a. the listeners. But did I miss anything? Do you guys wanted to make a shout-out to anyone or cover anything before we jump into the podcast? I think we got everything covered. We're good?
Think so.
Yeah, okay. I don't know of anything.
Okay. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, Beacon City, Chapter 3. Last time, or when we last saw our heroes, Time Slip and Trax the Traveler had just arrived and encountered the Lamplighter, and also encountered Captain Archon, a hero based off of the U.S. Air Force base to the north of Beacon City, and had been kind of brought into made those connections. I'm going to assume that Time Slip and Trax have kind of gone their separate ways temporarily, just investigating the local scene here in Beacon City. Of course, it's a lot less business as usual for Trax since he's an alien. So he's kind of wandered off to explore Earth. But for tonight's session, I'm going to say that Time Slip has probably hooked up with one of the other players. They probably put him in touch with... Now, Time Slip, what are you? Are you in college, or were you in
a... No, he's about 27 years old, and okay. Before he started doing all this, he worked as a telemarketer. He still has the same job.
Okay.
Ooh, bless his heart.
Oh, yeah. You're a villain now, I see.
He's one of these guys that just never had any real drive or ambition at all, and got a little summer job after high school and ended up staying there for like 9 years.
Yeah, I've met that guy.
Yeah, that was me.
All right, so we can all relate to some degree.
Yeah.
I've known too many telemarketers in my time, and I have nothing but empathy for them, but I just have to say, never, ever, ever tell your stories around me.
And of course, you know, before he got on the train, he didn't realize he was coming all the way to Beacon City. He thought maybe it was just going somewhere there in Atlanta or something, but... So he probably had to call in, and he's taking a leave of absence from work, I suppose.
All right. in the meantime, we have Starchild was actually hasn't actually taken ownership of his superhero identity yet. He was more of just kind of the guy with superpowers who happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Right.
And you were interested in astronomy and cosmology, so you're probably investigating the Beacon City University astronomy department, which is actually connected with let's see, there's actually a really nice observatory on White Mountain, so they're actually looking for interns.
Okay.
So you're probably checking in. Let's see, I had the professor's name here, but that will probably get to, yeah, it's Hadfield Observatory, and there is, let's see, yeah, okay, we will cut that later. I think I'll bring you in either at the observatory or at the university, but I am going to start with Shannon, a.k.a. the Jade Witch, she's waiting to meet up with Tempest at the library. Seems to be a place where you two guys get together. One of the things that you are interested in right now, Shannon, is you're actually trying to research a obscure phrase that the Lamplighter put you in touch with. He sent you a message basically saying, you know, asking you to look into something called the Lost Army.
Okay.
And you've been looking up mystical armies or weapons, and you've been trying to find something in the archives. Do you have the investigation skill?
That is a good question. Let's see here. I have got... not very comfortable with this character sheet yet. Oh, there we go. It's above powers. I'm sorry. I'm such a noob. Okay. Investigation. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and do you want to take 10 on that, or do you want to roll for it?
Oh, let's roll. What the heck?
Okay.
And she rolled a 7. Okay, so that would be a big 11.
Okay.
I should have taken 10, huh?
So you're pulling books off the shelves and looking through them and getting a little frustrated, because every now and then you do find like an off kilter reference to something called the Lost Army in different languages. In very rough translations, but it usually kind of goes back to Latin. But every time you try to trace it back to trying to find out what the reference was to, it leads you to books that are locked up in the more secure levels that you don't have clearance for.
Oh, gotcha.
And you're sort of pouring through a history book and just kind of turning pages and trying to find some, you know, bit of reference that you could maybe use to either fill Lamplighter in or give you kind of enough information to try and get Bradbury to give you access, because he's a stickler for you know, he doesn't want to pay attention to anything unless there's serious evidence that something's really going on. So he doesn't like to be bothered with things. But you're basically flipping through this. Make a perception check.
Okay. That was better. 24.
Okay. You're working on the book, and all of a sudden, two hands come down in front of your face, and a familiar voice in your ear says, "Guess who?" And you recognize the voice of your friend Tabitha Taboo.
What kind of hands does she have?
She's just slender, dark skin, kind of mocha skin. She's Creole, so she's got that kind of coffee and cream look to her.
Cool.
but to her skin. But they're also covered with all kinds of rings. She's very much into jewelry and stuff.
Okay, cool. Turn around and take a look at her and see if she's got anything on jewelry-wise that I haven't seen before. And because, you know, you got to go shopping, right? You know, when your friend comes in.
Yeah,
she. Yeah, just check her out. Make sure that she doesn't have anything that I have to steal. And
she's grinning. The last you heard, she was actually in Chicago doing a tour there and trying to book some hotels in Vegas. So you're kind of surprised to see her in town.
How long has she been gone?
Well, she tours the country with her magic act. Her permanent residence is kind of here in Beacon City, but it's more of a post office box now. She's kind of a gypsy.
Gotcha.
But,
okay.
So whenever she's in the area, she tries to stop by, but she doesn't get to see you. You haven't seen her in about probably 6 to 8 months.
Oh, gracious. Okay, well, then that's probably not the way I would have greeted her. I would have to jump up and give her a hug if I haven't seen her in that long.
Yep. So she gives you a big hug and she says, "Now, tell me again that you weren't going to be some sort of superhero." And she holds up a newspaper with a picture of the Jade Witch.
Just take it away from her and put it face down on the table. How have you been?
She's like, "Well, I've been trying desperately to make news, but apparently you beat me to that too."
Well, not everybody knows that that's me, okay?
She's like, "Well, not everybody knows the real Tabitha Taboo either." And she just grins and she says, "Well, I had to come into town. When I heard that somebody had let loose some sort of giant beanstalk, I just had to find out what is going on."
You know what? I would love to be able to tell you. It was a beanstalk. It was a freaking beanstalk. It grew up out of the middle of the ground. It was awesome. You should have been here.
It's like, "Oh, I know. She leans over and she goes, I was in the middle of making the biggest mistake of my life at that time."
What, again?
Yes, well, this one was crazy.
What's going on?
Oh, just bad. It's just a bad date. bad relationship. He's gone. He is past tense. No worries.
This sounds like a long conversation that we have to have.
Yes, yes.
Gotcha.
So how about you? Are you seeing anyone right now?
No. Who's got time for that crap? I'm trying. I've got A's to make.
All right. At this point, you're talking when one of the elevator extends into this area and the doors open, and you kind of glance across the space between where you're in the one of the upper floors of the library. That's where the offices are, and you're kind of looking across from one balcony to another, and you see John Bradbury, the man in charge of this particular branch, leaving the elevator, and he's followed by your kind of nemesis, David Southerton, and it's a young man, kind of. I guess we said he looked a little bit like Draco Malfoy.
Well, I remember that he had that attitude, but yeah. I'm not sure whether we decided what he looked like or not.
Something like that, with a more like a 20-year-old, but he's following John, kind of like a pilot fish, with carrying a stack of papers and files. And there's a woman walking with them that you haven't seen before. She looks like she's Asian, maybe Korean, and pretty young looking, maybe about somewhere between 18 and 25. And Mr. Bradbury seems to be talking to her like she's an authority figure. You can actually make an insight check.
Okay. That is 24.
Okay. That's definitely your fort. Oh yeah, just glancing at your insight. You definitely have a good insight. So basically, you can see he's kind of nervous around her, and she seems very businesslike. She's very hard to read. She's wearing kind of a period dress. She looks like she's stepped out of maybe a 1930s or 1940s movie. If you've ever seen the second Indiana Jones film, the third, the Holy Grail episode. So I can't remember the name of the movie all of a sudden.
That's okay. I know how it is.
But what's that?
Last Crusade.
Yes, thank you. The Last Crusade.
Yay.
The dress that Elsa was wearing when Dr. Jones first meets her in Venice. It's basically very similar to that. Long, kind of tight, very attractive looking, but conservative at the same time. She's keeping pace with him. And as he's like fumbling with the lock to his door, you see her kind of cast her eyes over towards you, and you get a strong feeling that she's definitely kind of in charge of something more than just a backwater library facility. You feel like she's definitely put the kind of fear into John just by being here. You know, almost like, uh-oh, the IRS just stopped by to audit us or something.
Yeah, I gotcha. Now, do I know of anyone by reputation that I think this might be, or am I mystified?
You've actually never met her before, without knowing where she fits in, you'd need to see her credentials to really know where she fits into the organization. But you know, she's carrying nothing but like a purse, and she doesn't seem to be accompanied by anyone.
Okay.
So you don't see anyone else with her. So whoever she is, she either showed up alone or doesn't. You know, she basically doesn't need someone else with her to intimidate a headmaster of the library.
That's very interesting.
And at which point the elevator opens up again, and I'm going to say that Tempest gets out of the elevator, and actually, you know what? Let's say it's Tempest and I'm trying to think. I'm just making sure how I can fit all the characters in. Let's just go with Tempest right now.
Okay.
Getting off.
Okay.
Off the elevator. And Tempest, as you're getting off the elevator, make a perception check.
Okay. I got that's pretty good. I got an 18.
All right. You're getting off the elevator looking around for your friend, and you kind of notice some papers on the floor that look like they're mostly in Latin, with a picture of a book on it and some other strange stuff on it. And looking ahead down the aisle across from you, you see John Bradbury and his assistant with his arms full of papers trying to get their way in through the door. And there's an attractive young woman standing next to them.
Okay. Well, I will pick up the papers and say, oh, excuse me, I think you guys dropped something. Okay. And bring them the papers. I have known not to try to read the scary Latin in the library because, you know, fires start and things with tentacles show up, so I'll just...
Okay. You're walking over, and the young man who's with him kind of, like, goes pale and snatches the papers out of your hands in a panic, and and says, give me that, and then, of course... Bradbury says, thank you, and looks kind of nervous about that, and the Asian woman kind of turns and looks at you, She looks like she's about your age, but when you look at her, you actually have a ping. You feel a sense of familiarity about her, and you realize that she has just recognized you as a mythic, as someone from mythology. You sense that she's a mythical creature of some kind as well, but you're not sure where from.
Okay.
You're not sure which mythology.
Hopefully not a kind that wants to, you know, eat me. You'd be surprised how many there are.
Exactly. She sort of tilts her head and looks up at you, and she says, "Oh, interesting. You just walk in and out of here, do you?"
Well, I can't fly, so yeah, the feet have to stay on the ground.
She smiles at that and nods. It's a very subtle smile. It's almost gone faster than you saw it. And the door finally swings open, and she steps in, and John kind of glares at you and, like, makes a shooing motion, like, "Okay, thank you. Now move on," to get you away.
Okay, well, I can take a hint, so I will say, "Well, enjoy your spooky papers. I've got a thing."
One thing you did catch was quickly the name it scrawled across the top of the page, because it was hard to miss.
Uh-huh.
But it was something Latin. Perditus Mavors. You have no idea what it means. Unless you speak Latin.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, well, I will... I was told to beat it, so I will go over to Jade Witch and her friend and act like, "Yes, that's entirely why I'm here."
All right.
Donnie, have you met Tabitha?
Nope.
No, I haven't. Hi.
All right.
Well, this is my friend Tabitha.
Yep. A very attractive woman steps up and smiles and sticks out her head, and she goes, "Eric the Viking, hello."
No, it's Donald, and, yeah, I'm not really a Viking. I don't Vike that much.
She's like, "I don't know, from the look of you, you could probably Vike the hell out of somebody."
Check, please.
Oh, gosh.
She's like, "So, she turns to, Jade Witch. She says, "I assume that you two have something important that you need to rush off and do."
I don't
want to be interrupting anything here.
No. Just Bradbury was giving me the stink eye, so I came over here to avoid it.
So,
yeah, do you recognize that lady that he was with? I don't know who that is.
No, she's got some kind of mojo, though.
She's got mojo. What does that mean?
She's like... magical in some way.
Oh, like real mojo.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. No wonder Bradbury's shaking in his boots.
Well, if she's allowed in here, then she must be a member of the higher headmasters of the organization, which means that the smart place to be is as far away from here as possible, if any. Is going on. She says, "Well, if you two aren't doing anything terribly important, then I think it's your duty to show me around town."
Okay.
Come on, Donnie. You know you weren't going to study anyway.
That's fair.
It's like, all right. We're going to cut to... let's see. If it's
wasn't
evening...
Starchild sleeping on my couch?
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, let's call Star. Let's call what? I forget Starchild's real name.
I know it. I've forgotten it. It's my character, and I don't remember. Let's see here. Where is it?
And by the way, time slip is also sleeping on the lamplighter's couch.
Yeah, I was kind of looking through his origin. I'm like, wow, everything's about his mom. There it goes, Simon.
Simon, that's it. Simon Stern.
Simon should be here.
Yes.
All right. And you heard that, actually, yeah, Tempest, you guys, you and Starchild heard that a new guy was hanging out in town who had either some sort of, he had some sort of strange artifact that defied technological analysis, and he was kind of looking to possibly get his to meet somebody from the library to see if they could look over his watch. So you guys could call time slip at this point and get him to meet you as well.
Sure.
Okay.
So you guys want to all meet at a a cafe or something? It's probably about 8 o'clock at night right now, and it's raining but not heavy.
Now, do they know the Lamplighter's secret identity?
He gave everybody a phone number you all could trade. Actually, the Air Force captain kind of gave you guys smartphones that you could use. So if you want to like have traded those around, you could be using those to communicate.
Sure.
I was just wondering because I was going to suggest maybe they come to his place since that's where my character's been staying.
Actually, you guys are meeting at a place called The Faculty, which is a 24-hour fast food place. This is the kind of... it's right down the street from the university, and it's the kind of place that everybody in town knows. It's a greasy spoon type of place. Everybody uses it for directions. So if you've ever been to Atlanta and people say, you know, give you directions by the Big Chicken... This is a landmark like the Big Chicken in Atlanta. So everyone probably has a landmark like that in their town. But in this place, it's called The Faculty, and it's actually a fast food place that serves like fried hot dogs and other crazy stuff.
Healthy college kid food.
Yep. All right. So, and it also has a room that you guys can like poke into and hang out at, and anybody there is just going to think you're like LARPers or something. Since you're probably not in costume right now.
Mm-mm.
And all right. So, you guys meet, and Starchild and Timeslip arrive, and go ahead and have you guys flag each other down. Timeslip, what do you dress at like when you're not in costume?
Not real expensive clothes or anything like that, but he dresses fairly nicely. He's got, you know, good personal upkeep, so probably. What's the weather like?
Well, it's raining out, and the temperature is about 72 degrees.
Okay, well then he's probably wearing like a nice windbreaker with a hood, some dark jeans and nice kicks.
Okay. And he's a blonde curly haired boy, right?
Yeah, he's got wild curly hair, a little bit of a 5 o'clock shadow going.
Okay, and let's see. Simon, a.k.a. Yeah. Starchild. What's your character look like when he's out of costume?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've only seen him out of costume so far.
Exactly.
So very much the same. Small, slight build, straight dark hair, a bit uncut. He's wearing threadbare jeans, a t-shirt, and an old hoodie. He does not look like he's got money, and because he doesn't.
Okay. All right. Well, you see Jade Witch and Tempest are joined by somebody you haven't met before. Attractive young Creole woman. She looks like she's in her mid-20s. Do either of your characters follow pop culture a lot?
Yeah, mine probably would.
Okay.
Mine not.
Okay. Time slip. Make a quick intelligence check.
Sure.
Or if you have a relevant skill, you can use that.
Yeah, I almost gave him pop culture, but I went with expertise telemarketing instead. So I'm just going to be rolling a 1d20.
If you want, you can use your. I'll increase the difficulty, but you can use that telemarketing skill if that's good enough, where it's better than your intelligence by itself.
Well, I have a 0 for intelligence, but I rolled a 17, so I'll just stick with that.
Okay. All right. You recognize her, and it actually pops into your head that you saw her on a late night public access channel. Charity drive. I'm trying to remember what, like PBS when they're always doing their
sure.
charity drive, not charity drives, but the fundraising
pledge drives. Drive.
Yeah, pledge yeah. drives. That's the word I was looking for. So, she's a stage magician. She doesn't usually wear this much jewelry. She has a very kind of sexy kind of stage costume that she wears, but she's very good sleight of hand, kind of stage magician, David Copperfield type.
Sure.
She's got this. You actually recognize her. Most people don't recognize her off the bat because when she goes, you know, casual, she's wearing completely different clothes, and she's got this jewelry, and she's got this kind of crazy street magician vibe going.
He would probably touch the chronometer, and then suddenly he's next to her, and he's like, "Oh my god, that thing where you made the Sears Tower disappear, that was so cool." Hi, my name's Timeslip. He like puts his hand up.
She jumps as you suddenly appear next to her, and she's like, "Aha, hello." She extends a hand, and she looks up, and she goes, she kind of looks over at Jade Witch, and then she looks up at, the other fellow coming in. She kind of leans over, and she goes, "And you're not dating any of these?"
Correct.
And he's still just going on about being a big fan. He's like, you are just the coolest. I can't believe it's really you. Can I get your autograph?"
She's like, sure. Maybe later. She's like, maybe I could trade it for you telling me how you did that little sudden appearing trick.
Well, hey, magicians aren't supposed to tell their secrets, right? Kind of gives her a wink.
She kind of grins and she says, "Sure."
Go ahead. Starchild is simply going to use telepathy to communicate to Jade Witch and Tempest, friends of yours.
Friend of Lamplighters.
Ah,
they did a thing.
Do you say that out loud or?
I said it in my brain.
Okay.
Insane in the membrane. All right. Well,
Well, I will at least introduce Tabitha around to the people that I know, and I'll let somebody else clue me in on who our other new person is, but I don't really want to role play it all out, but hi, this is my friend Tabitha.
Tabitha introduced herself. She was a childhood friend of Shannon. She's a member of the library as well, but never really had the drive to go up the ranks of the library. She kind of feels like there's no fun to be had there, and she's very much a hedonist. She likes to go out and live, so she does the stage performing thing and keeps her library card up to date so that they don't, like, you know, chase her down and monitor her. But for the most part, she's a very free spirit. She likes breaking rules, and She's an she does know real magic, but she's not she's not on the level of someone like Jade Witch. She's not a combat mage, as it were. She's far more interested in entertaining people. But she also grew up partly between Beacon City and New Orleans, so she has a very strong New Orleans accent, which I can occasionally get right, but apparently not tonight. But so when I do it, I tend to overdo it a little bit, so I will hopefully not alienate people. But anyway, so she's quite happy to meet you guys, and she's sort of kind of she's very flirty too, so she tends to hit it off with all of you guys. She's kind of like looking around, and she's got, well, you've got the smart one over there, you've got the jock over here, and you've got the movie star guy over here, and she goes, none of these guys are your type.
You know, Tabby, we have this argument about every 6 or 8 months, and you know how this is going to end, so just help yourself, okay?
It's like, well, at least I never had to fight with you over a boy.
No. But maybe that's why we're still friends.
She, it's like, S. At which point,
real quick, I'll say that time slip finally like breaks his you know, stare on the magician that he's seen, and he starts noticing that there's other people around, and so he'll start going around and introducing himself.
Okay.
Probably start with Jade Witch first, because Lamplighter told him that she could probably help him with his figuring something out about his watch, and then going on to the other boys.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, did any of you have a good detect spell handy or something that you wanted to try? Did you want to inspect his watch here while you know, or did you want to wait and do it in a place that's a little more discreet?
It would probably make her more comfortable to do that somewhere other than in a restaurant, because you never know when a genie is going to pop out of something or whatever, and it is kind of like a public place and just not safe. I'll look at it when we get to the library.
Okay.
Is there anything that I can tell from it just by physically looking it over?
Glancing at it, I'll let Tali describe what it looks like.
Basically, it's almost kind of like a bracer around the wrist, much thicker than like a normal watch. Very intricate metal design, lots of like metalwork on it, with the central timepiece, and then two gems touching to the side of it near the outside of the wrist. And so it just looks like a really elaborate, very, very beautiful, like, timepiece. Hmm. But very unusual to the eye, you know. Almost a little steampunk looking. So you can still, like, see the interior of the watch and stuff like that.
That sounds really cool. I have a good mental image of that.
There's a, yeah, it definitely is fascinating to look at, and it's, you know, the wheels are always turning and stuff, so you're not really sure how it functions, but you get the impression that if it's magical in nature, it's a pretty high order of magic. It looks very complex and very intricate, very well designed, so.
Yeah, I definitely want to take a closer look at this, but I don't think I want to get into it right now. I think this is more complicated than I can really do justice to sitting in a booth at the faculty
I don't have any sort of like discriminatory or like, you know, very much detail, but is it, does it like sniff as magical to Tempest?
Yes, actually it does.
Okay.
Yes. So it's you know, if you want to tell him that, that's, it's definitely magical and it's got some magic qualities to it.
Okay. Neat. That's pretty much what he will say when looking at it. Oh, that's kind of neat.
Do you think they would have chicken wings here at this restaurant?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Time Slip's going to go and order like 3 or 4 baskets and come back. And he says, one thing my mom taught me is, you know, butter up your new friends. Food's on the way, guys. And he's just kind of smiling.
When you go up to the counter, make a perception check.
Okay. 11 all total.
Okay. You didn't notice anything out of the ordinary, so when you head back to meet up with your friends and you're bragging about the food, I'll let everybody else do a quick perception check.
Okay. Star Child's a 28.
27 for me.
Nice.
I was incredibly poor. Yeah, well, that's not that bad. 11.
You heard wings and zoned out.
Yeah, I was like, wings?
Wings, food, yeah.
Wings.
All right. You see a, when he went up to the counter, you know, guys kind of watched him and glanced at the entrance and saw a man standing at the entrance for a minute. Guy's very well dressed. Like, those of you who had high perception rolls can notice that. I mean, his shoes probably cost about $500.
Yeah.
You know, very, very, you know, very nice suit and everything. Wearing a hat and carrying a walking stick with a silver top on it. And he seems to stare in, and you catch him actually looking at your table and at your group. And then he turns and walks down the street without coming into the building.
Ah.
Tabitha doesn't seem to have noticed him. Just rolling it. So, just out of curiosity, did you take the attractive advantage for Tempest?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, in fact, he's kind of intimidated by her, because he's from New Orleans as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably like heard of her, and so it's like he's like, okay, so she's talking to the good looking guy. I can breathe now.
Yeah. So yeah, she's actually probably getting cozy with Time Slip and what is Time Slip's alias again?
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Franklin. Yeah,
that's right. She's very chatty with you and very quickly directs the conversation away from her and to like trying to find out what you do, and it's like, oh, you're in telemarketing. You must have a lot of free time on your hands.
Yeah, I kind of do. But, you know, it's not so bad. Everybody gives it a bad rap, but I get to talk to people all the time, and, you know, about half of them don't hang up on me right off the bat, so usually I can find some pretty good conversations in there, even if I don't sell anything, but I'm a pretty good seller, too.
She nods, and she definitely seems to be enjoying the conversation. And let's see. We are going to. What is the range on Tempest's magic sniffing power?
It is a ranged sense.
Is it basically? So is it literally his sense of smell?
No, no. It's just a. It's a awareness that's ranged, so it's like minus one per 10 feet.
Okay. That's right, and it's on active effects, right?
Yeah, and it also counters illusions.
Ah. Okay. This is actually counters illusion is mystical awareness. So it's actually an active detect. It's not just awareness. So you can track anything mystical, even if it's not an active effect. You can. It's not like you. I thought it was using the awareness sense, but you're actually using detect. So mm-hmm. you basically reach out with it, and you can sense things. So in that moment, you sense a spell. You sense something powerful, black magic nearby. It feels like it's probably outside the building, but something black happens and sends a cold chill down your spine.
Okay, well, I will I'll say guys, there's something evil and magical going on outside. Maybe we should like check that out.
Hop straight up and head out the door.
Yeah.
Tabitha's like, whoa, what's going on?
This happens all the time. It's a thing. We'll be right back.
Time slip's looking at the waitress going, but guys, the wings!
The wings all show up at about this time.
Tempest grabs a handful of wings on the way out.
Tabitha's like, is everyone leaving?
No, you stay here. Seriously, stay here. I don't know what I don't know what he's sensed, but if it's really black magic, you need to stay in here.
All right. What about Starchild? Are you going to follow
pulling
these?
Pulling up the hood on the hoodie, trying to look unobtrusive. Yeah. Part of my job is not being seen. So I'm going to let the big, loud people go first.
Okay. All right. You are heading outside, and it's dark. It's rainy, and so the vision is a little hard to see. Let's see.
I'm gonna actually kind of like pause time and run to the bathroom, and then as I unpause it, I'm coming out of the door in my costume.
Okay.
Dude, I wish I could do that.
How do each of you change costumes, by the way? Those of you who actually have costumes, because Starchild doesn't have one yet.
Mine was kind of underneath my real clothes, for the most part.
Tempest has that fortunate little feature that people just don't put him together with the superhero guy.
Yeah. Unless people already know you, then it should work.
Yeah.
Or they have some reason to suspect.
Right.
So they have to track you down. But aside from that, yeah, he just kind of steps outside, tosses his jacket, and you know, inside the faculty, and like steps outside with his t-shirt showing, and all of a sudden everyone goes, "It's a superhero."
Mm-hmm.
And when you all step outside, you're kind of looking around trying to find the source of this thing. You have tracking, so you can use investigate to try and find where this evil is coming from. But everyone else is going to be relying on some sort of perception check. What's the does anybody else? Let's see. Did you have a detect magic spell, Jade? Or actually, wait, I didn't ask. How is Jade changing costumes? Jade Witch.
I have I haven't figured out exactly what the details are, but it's something to do with the mask. She's like, the mask is the only part of it that she has to actually carry, and if she puts that on, it changes everything.
Okay.
But I haven't worked out the numbers.
You don't have actually a feature or anything that takes the time. So it takes you about a round, a combat round, if I was measuring.
Yeah.
So basically, you slip off to the side and you step outside in the rain and kind of step off to the side of the building and put your mask on and your costume appears.
Yeah, something to that effect.
Okay. So while you're doing that and the others are each doing their own kind of costume change in their own way, time slip is probably the fastest one ready. So I'm going to go ahead and have time slip go ahead and roll a perception check when he hits outside, just because he's got the ability to manipulate time. He's probably out there first.
Got a 17 altogether.
Okay. All right. Actually, looking at stats here now. Hang on a second. Okay, you glance up at a building across the street, and you see what looks like a very large black shape silhouetted for a moment against a thunderbolt in the distance. It looks like it's not a humanoid shape. It looks more like a beast of some kind, like either a bear or something, but it's really big, whatever it is. But it ducks out of sight almost immediately as it notices you catching sight of it.
Sure.
And then the other guys kind of run up next to you.
Does it look like it just goes further back in, like further back to the back end of the roof?
Well, it's hard to see from where you're at, but okay. it ducks back from out of sight. You're not sure where it went, but you still feel like the presence, like it's stalking you guys.
Sure. Okay. I would see that and probably think that doesn't seem like that's the same direction that they were talking about. So I'll probably come to like a skid, and stop and turn and look at everybody else that should be making their way out of the building now.
Okay. Tempest, you're outside.
Mm-hmm.
The rain doesn't obscure your vision. You're immune to the to that. So go ahead and make a perception check to try and track or actually whatever your best tracking skill would be.
It would be perception.
Okay.
Okay, that is a 15.
15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would be good enough. All right. You sense that the evil begins in the alley across the way, but you kind of cross the street really quick, and people are starting to watch you, going, "Hey, it's that guy who was on TV. He fought like that giant. He fought that water lady, Calypso." And they're all kind of looking and pointing. And as you round the corner, you kind of follow the scent, as it were, up the side of the building. You can sense that it goes up to the top of this building across the way. Are you going to plunge ahead, or are you going to wait for others, or what's your approach?
Oh, I'm a plunging ahead kind of guy. I'll jump up to the roof.
All right. You jump up onto the roof, and you see something huge and bear-like step out of the shadows and growl at you. It looks like it looks like a wolf, but it's way bigger than a wolf. Thing is, let's see. I'd say it's about 6 feet at the shoulder. Growls at you. And then,
Sit! Sit!
Let me know if that works out for you.
You couldn't hurt to try.
He speaks in a low voice and he says, "I did not come here for you, Myth Son."
Okay, but you're here doing all kinds of bad magic, so you got me as the booby prize.
Tilts his head and he says, "You really don't want to be involved in this."
Well, I don't know. What are you going to do? Maybe I don't want to be involved in it. Tell me your secret plan.
He sort of snorts at you. And he says, "Maybe later." And turns around and leaps to the next building. At the same moment, you feel magic kind of, dark magic kind of popping up in three other places nearby.
Okay. I will forward all that on through Starchild. That we've got the big bad wolf and three other big bad things up here.
All right, I will pass that along. I will happily play switchboard.
All right, guys.
Well, get airborne. Go see if I can see anything.
The Jade Witch takes to the sky. It's kind of hard seeing with the rain, but at least it's not hot.
Hooray!
And you make a perception check.
That is 13 and 11, 24. Is this like the third time I've gotten a 24 tonight?
It might be.
Maybe I need to roll a new die. It's a little creepy.
Well, you do spot the big wolf kind of leaping from rooftop to rooftop and making towards the shadows. And you're scanning the thunderclouds, and let's see here.
Yeah, I do have attuned senses for detect magic and whatnot. So if that helps, then yep. You know, then factor that in.
Yep. Okay. Kind of looking around, and there's a rumble of lightning, and you kind of sweep your eyes past something that's lit by the sky for a second, and you kind of look past it, and then your eyes jump back, and you realize that hovering in the air, like just about 15 feet away from you, there's a fleshless skull just hanging in the air.
Just a skull?
Just a skull.
Ew.
And it's looking right at you with ghostly, like, reflections of eyes hovering in its empty eye sockets.
And, probably start back from it a little bit and... you know, try not to scream like a little girl. You know, you're in costume. You don't want to be screaming like a little girl.
This is, the Jade Witch. So good to finally meet you.
To whom do I have the pleasure of speaking?
Oh, you may, well, since you are so polite in asking, you may call me... Professor Teasbury. Let's see. Do you have what knowledge skills does your character have? I'm trying to think here. You have expertise magic. Go ahead and roll your expertise magic.
Okay. Ooh, that's nice. That would be a 29.
Okay. This guy would be essentially the... Actually, Teasbury, you remember that name from one of your readings. Mm-hmm. This guy was a fairly active demonologist back in, like, the Victorian period.
Oh.
He was a member of the Golden Dawn. And, you know, he was associated with people like Arthur Machen, William Butler, Yeats, and Aleister Crowley. But he kind of you know, the library knows what happened to him, while the rest of history kind of forgot. He was, he apparently died and came back as either a lich or a ghost, depending on who you talk to. But he was a very dangerous mage during his lifespan. So you can only imagine what he's like now.
Hmm.
He's like, oh. So, apparently, the circles in this town are much more tightly wound than we were led to believe. That's a shame. Oh well, I suppose we'll just have to bide our time.
Hmm. So with the is he like strongly black magic evil?
Yeah.
Like it's not like here's a magical person.
You can actually see it kind of boiling off of him in like green smoke. He's when the water hits him, it kind of steams off of him in this weird green steam.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Professor, it's certainly an honor to meet you. I hope we do not come into conflict in the future.
He's like, ah, well, you know. Actually, I switched to my Teasbury voice. Think of Anthony Head, if you want a good voice for this guy. And yes, the best name ever, but yeah, if I could do a perfect impersonation of him, that's who would be playing the Floating Skull.
Darth Giles.
What's that? Yes. Like, he says, well, apparently, my dear, we already are in conflict, at least conflict of interests, but for tonight, I think as long as you are all gathered together like this, we shall wait. And the head makes a strange bobbing motion, which you imagine might have been a bow if he had a body. And then kind of turns and starts to float off in a different direction from the wolf.
Hmm. That was different. But you said that Tempest had sensed presences in three other directions, right?
Yep.
And when he relayed that down, did we get
that was one of your blips, as it were?
One of our blips. Is his telepathy accurate enough that he can tell us, 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock, Did he tell us where to look for the other blips? Is what I'm trying.
Okay.
To.
Tempest, give me a perception check to see how much information you can get in there.
Ah, 9.
Okay. General area is just, but that seems to confirm one of them, and let's see, 1, 2, 3. In across the street, kind of watching you guys, but leaning up casually against a lamppost, you see a man wearing an expensive leather racing jacket, like a motorcycle racing jacket, with the hood up, or with a hood up. He's wearing something underneath it that's got a hood, and biker boots and. He's got a very kind of stocky, powerful build, but he's just kind of got his arms folded, and it seems to be watching you, and you get a feeling that he's one of these blips, as it were. Mm-hmm. And then I'm rolling in a perception check for you again. Okay, yeah, you rolled a 24, so you see another figure walks over to him, and it looks like a woman in a red raincoat with a red hood up over her face as well. And they sort of confer quietly with each other, but are watching you guys. And then they kind of turn and start to part, and they start to walk away. Does anybody in the group have a tactic skill?
No.
No? Nope. Okay.
Mm-mm.
What's the wolf doing?
The wolf seems to be leaving. He seems to be jumping from building to building. And
Well, Tempest was going to try to jump after him.
Okay, are you going to chase him down and attack him, or are you just going to follow him?
I am going to try to chase him down and, you know, find out what the big bad wolf is up to.
So you're going to try and corner him in an alley?
Or, you know, on a rooftop.
Or are you stealth following?
Oh,
are you trying to be stealthy, or are you just chasing after him?
I'm not trying to be stealthy at all. I'm, like, hollering at him and...
Okay.
calling him a bad dog and...
Get back here! All right, does this... Starchild, are you going to alert everybody else to what Tempest is doing?
I will, and I'm also going to try and make it... While I can still see him, the guy in the leather jacket, I'm just going to try and take a quick attempt to peek into his mind with a mind-reading attempt.
All right. What's your mind-reading
It's an opposed will check, so my will is 10 before I roll.
Okay, your will is a 10. You sound like you're breaking up a little bit. Are you still having a problem, or...?
I hear you okay.
Okay, that was great. I mean, it was just a temporary thing. Okay. All right, so you're trying to read the hooded man's mind. So basically, it's just a matter of... Let's see, I'm trying to remember. Mind reading works off of...
It's an opposed effect check against the result of the target's will check.
Will check, that's what I thought.
So, DC 15 will.
Okay. So you rolled a 15 total?
Well, it's saying DC 15, so I think that's built in. I don't know.
So my question is it a... I thought it was a die roll versus a die roll. Let me double check that.
If it is, we can do that.
Yeah. Sometimes Hero Lab reports things in a weird way because it has a standard way of representing things. Mind reading. There we go.
So you actually do the effect of the rank of your mind reading power versus their will.
Right, so it's not an opposed check. That's odd because it does say opposed check. Let's see. Make an opposed effect check. No, it is an opposed effect check. So you roll your die and add your rank to it. And then, so what's your rank of mind reading?
5.
Okay. So you roll a d20 and add it to 5.
17.
Okay. All right. You try to probe, and the figure kind of pauses and turns around, and you see, like, 2 points of glowing blue light where his eyes would be, and you kind of recoil a little bit. The will behind those eyes is very powerful. He just kind of brushes you aside, and you also get the feeling that this guy is not human. Like, he has an inhuman mentality as well as, he's not just strong-willed. He's something not human.
All right.
And after kind of batting aside your mind-reading attack, he turns and resumes disappearing into the shadows unless somebody tries to follow them.
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. So, the only person being tracked... Is anybody going to try and catch up to Tempest, or...?
Yeah, that would probably be me.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I like a chase, he says, as he goes running off.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take to the air and trail behind. I'm still... weirded out. I'm not used to minds that I can't read.
Okay, so you're trailing after Tempest, or are you trailing after...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not chasing at a tremendous pace. I'm not trying to keep up.
Okay. Knowing he's being chased, the wolf eventually stops and spins around on a rooftop to face you guys as you're approaching, and hunches down, ready to fight.
And actually, I just had a thought. I mean, is there like a library policy? I mean, he's some kind of werewolf, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. I mean, are you supposed to bring in werewolves? I mean, is there like a procedure? Or werewolves, you just leave them alone unless they're biting people? Or?
Well, generally speaking, this guy does not... Well, I mean, werewolves don't really fall into that kind of mythical category that you would recognize, so you wouldn't necessarily know if he's specifically that, but... the werewolf disease, yes, that would be definitely something that the library would want to deal with, because, I mean, it's generally a demonic possession.
Okay.
But most of the time, werewolves don't grow to ginormous wolf size. They're usually either humanoid wolves or, human-sized wolves. This guy's bigger than human-sized. This guy's actually got, like about 3 ranks of growth.
Yikes.
So he's big. And, he's...
Well, he's doing stuff that is obviously black magic, and we're supposed to stop that, so...
Generally speaking, yeah. Although there are people who practice black magic that have library memberships as well, so it gets into kind of weird, fiddly territory. But more often than not... yeah, you would want to stop that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I'll say, look, unless you've got something that some sort of thing that can convince me not to keep chasing you all over town, I got nothing better to do tonight. So, what's your deal?
He sort of growls and he says, "Oh, don't tempt me. I would love to hunt you."
Tempt.
And he basically is kind of growling and on the defensive when your friends start popping up. So let's see, that would be Time Slip and basically everybody except
Jade Witch.
And
well, if everybody is going in one direction except for me, then I'm not going to hang out and contemplate, the rain. I'll follow.
So, yeah, the only person who was lagging behind, I think, was Starchild.
Yeah, so. And I'm just simply trying to keep some distance rather than, hiding.
The wolf sort of scans all of you. And as you're arriving, he just tilts his head and then turns back to you. And he looks like he's about ready to pounce. And then a ghostly image of the floating skull pops up next to him and says, "Good work, Hexen Wolf." Actually, sorry, let me get back into the voice for that. "Good work, Hexen Wolf. They've left her completely alone."
Oh, crap.
Oh, Peachy.
And the image of the head disappears, and Hexawolf sort of looks back up to you and just grins, and then hauls back and howls. Are you guys going to roll initiative and try and tackle him, or are you guys going to turn him?
I'm rolling initiative, and I'm going to try to bust it back there because I can go 4 miles in one round. So
okay,
yeah, I'm going to want to go back and save Tabitha.
Okay.
I'm going to try... What I'm going to do, actually, is make one try to, disable or slow down Hexen Wolf while the rest go. I can kind of cover the rear from distance. He can't get at me.
Okay. So that's your plan?
This is an initiative thing, I guess.
Okay. Well, what's, yeah, go ahead and roll initiative for everybody then. Let me actually get my Hero Lab open here and roll my initiative. Alright, Tempest, what's your initiative?
I got a mighty 11.
Time Slip.
38. My initiative's 19, and I actually rolled a 19.
Okay.
Nice.
Starchild.
19. Which I thought was good.
All right, Jade Witch.
13.
I'm a speedster. I'm supposed to go first.
Sure.
All right, double checking Hex and Wolf's initiative. Okay. So Time Slip zooms back to the cafeteria, and you run inside and look really quickly around and don't see her sitting at the table. Make a perception check, or do you have a tracking skill?
No, I don't.
All right, make a perception check.
Oh, I actually did a fairly good one this time. 22 altogether.
Okay. You zoom around, like, duck back outside, and you see Tabitha standing at the bus stop, kind of tapping her foot impatiently and reading the bus schedule.
Okay. Zoom over there and... pop up right in front of her, smiling real big, and say, "Hey, you're not running away already, are you? I thought we were going to talk some more."
She steps back and she goes, "Wait, are all of Shannon's friends superheroes?"
I'm not sure. I can't speak on that, but I am. Smiles.
Like, well, it just seemed like you all had something very important to do, and I'll be in town for a few days, so I thought I would just call her when I got home.
Well, I tell you what, I think I'm supposed to keep an eye on you, so why don't you hang with me for a minute?
All right.
Big smile.
All right, everybody else is kind of, get back to everybody else.
Sure.
So that was Time Slip. All right. The wolf, actually, let's see. I've kind of forgotten some of his advantages. I need to double check something. Alright. I'm going to give everybody a hero point, and he is going to use hide in plain sight. Ooh. He kind of, as you guys all turn over your shoulder to kind of look back where you came from and then turn back, he's going to try and disappear. Everyone make a perception check to see if you can follow him.
21.
Oh boy, rolled a big one this time.
19.
That's a 12 for me total.
Okay.
Wow.
You guys turn around and he's gone. It's like he was there one moment and gone the next.
Oh.
And the lingering stench of the spell seems to be in this area. Like, it doesn't go any further than this. So whatever black magic he was using, he stopped using it.
Well, I don't know if we're still going by initiatives or not, but as soon as it gets to me, I'm going back. I'm spending a hero point going back as fast as I can possibly get there to check on Tabitha.
All right. You don't need to spend a hero point for that, but you can zoom back.
Well, I'm kind of slow, so yeah.
Actually, what's your flight?
Let's see. Flight 4. It's only 30 miles an hour. It's not very fast. So I wanted to spend the point because I want to push it.
Okay. You can do a double move action in one round, which would make it 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you wanted to push it, you wouldn't necessarily have to spend a hero point. You could just use extra effort. And then...
Oh, okay. I thought that's how you used extra effort.
Extra effort, you can spend a hero point on the next round to remove the fatigue caused by it, but you don't actually have to make that decision until the next round.
Okay, I gotcha.
So you can actually do that. And then, if there's no combat, you could just, you know, if you guys are out of combat, you can just take a recovery and bam, you're you know, you don't have to spend the hero point.
Okay. Well, whatever the correct mechanics are, the important part is that this is a really good friend of mine who I think is getting her face eaten off right now.
Yep.
So I'm in a hurry to get back.
All right. So you zoom back there at about 120 miles an hour and, you see time slip and let's actually do you. Yes, you do. Notice time slip and Tabitha just kind of standing at the corner at the bus stop, you don't see any sign of the other the mystical entities. It seems like they've all vacated the area. And everybody kind of congregates back at this point, and I'm going to go ahead and give you a recovery so you can recover. We're gonna leave combat. And you're all kind of standing around, kind of growling about this, when suddenly your time slip. Which of you? I mean, all of you have the option to have one by now. But which of you wanted to grab one of those government issued cell phones that that the lady from that Captain Archon was offering?
I would have.
Okay. Would that be? Was that you?
That was Tempest. Yeah.
That was Tempest. Okay. So, yeah, you and Timeslip, I guess, probably have them. I don't know if you grabbed any extras for the others, or if somebody wanted to kind of was too paranoid to use them. Is there anybody here who wouldn't be carrying one?
No, I mean I'm not paranoid, but it's probably the only phone I've got.
Okay. All right, well, they all start bleeping and ringing at the same time. A text message that says, alert sighted. They're saying, strange creature attacked police officers outside of Beacon City. Could be headed your way. Check in with me for more information.
Okay. Well, we should get... what's her name? Tabitha. We should get her back to the library, where presumably she won't get et. And then go check that out.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. How about if I'll take Tabitha back and you guys head on ahead and I'll catch up with you. Is that all right? Since she's, you know, my buddy and stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
Time slip will kind of like slip her his phone number before she takes off to Tabitha.
of course he will.
she smiles and tucks it away inside her jacket pocket. And,
you guys
he did it super fast, so nobody would see.
that floating skull guy.
Make a perception check. Time slip.
Sure. Big whopping 14.
Okay, you're patting yourself down, looking for a piece of paper to write your number down on,
sure.
and you find one of her business cards with a cell phone number written on it, tucked away in your pocket, and you have no idea how it got there.
Look back over at her, I'm like, tricks, eh?
she just sort of smiles and wiggles her fingers at you as Jade Witch kind of pulls her off. All right. So
tell the rest of the guys, hey, this superhero business isn't so bad after all.
Right. All right. Well, I guess we call, the number and say, okay, where do we go to, you know, where was the attack?
It's like, you call up and get Captain Archon, who's sounding very kind of tired and frustrated, but she puts all of you on a conference call, and she says, well, everyone except Jade Witch, who's off currently escorting Tabitha, she asks you guys, I don't know if any of you remember, but when I met with Time Slip and Trax and Lamplighter, one of the strange sightings I was asking about was in this area, and she sends you a picture of a map over the smartphones, and actually, this kind of makes Starchild's eyebrows go up, because it's right in your hometown. It's right outside your hometown.
Okay.
She says, we had some sort of strange report. Waved off by people as a crank call, but the police report listed it as some sort of bear sighting. Apparently, they found that, you know, they thought a bear had been near the house rummaging around the garbage cans. But the woman claimed she saw a giant red rhinoceros monster. And we filed it away under crank calls until 24 hours later, when three police officers were investigating a disturbance about 20 miles north of Beacon City, and ran into what they described as an 8 foot tall rhinoceros, red rhinoceros man. So whatever it is, it's coming your way, and we don't know what it's looking for, but it's dangerous. Three officers opened fire on it, and it just walked away from them after flipping one of their cars 30 feet into the air.
Guys, I have a funny feeling about this. Where it was first sighted, that's my hometown. And if it's coming here, it may be looking for me.
Did those cop cars have, like, cameras or video thing to get a picture of it?
Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me see. I think I should actually have a sketch I can show you guys. Let me just get this up real quick. And for people listening, I'll try and post this. This is a sketch. This is not a finished piece, but... let's see. I should have had it just handy, but I have it on the character sheet, but I'm trying to remember where the actual graphic file was. There we go. Oh, that's right, because it's in this one. Of course, ignore the name of the file. But I just posted it. Can you all see that link?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I want it up now. Oh, okay. Yikes.
Gah.
That doesn't look like any rhinoceros I've ever seen, guys.
You see it's a very large, massive, leathery-skinned creature with red skin and rows of kind of white horns coming off of its head and back, and it looks really big and strong. It is about 8 feet tall, and she said two officers were injured trying to stop the creature from leaving the area, but it seemed less concerned with them than with making a beeline for Beacon City. When they got in its way, it diverted towards the ocean, but we suspect that it may have just been looking for a path of least resistance. I did a flyby trying to find it, but I could not find it, and I'm running on my last reserves. I'm going to have to turn this one over to you guys.
Okay.
I don't know if you have any way of tracking something that is better than radar or sonar, but if you do, this is the general vicinity that it was found, that we spotted it in, and this was about an hour ago. So, assuming it can move this fast, and she said 24 hours on foot from, where were you coming from?
What was
the name of your city?
Morgansville, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Not even a city.
So from West Virginia all the way to here in 24 hours, I'm pretty sure it's got good ground speed. So.
Well, we can see if we can track it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got a telepath on the team. He might be able to do something.
Yeah, I could. Well, the problem is that most of my powers tend to be perception based or sight directed.
Okay. Or you could ask the Jade Witch for help.
Yeah, I'm formulating a question for you about constructs. Can I make bloodhounds, basically?
Ooh, like a summon?
Yeah.
You could do it as a power stunt off of your spells. Let's see, most of your spells are fairly esoteric.
Well, I do have Mystic Constructs as a create 7, so if I can, that's what I'm thinking about right this minute. But if there's a better way, then whatever way you think.
Well, it's kind of the way this is built. You wouldn't use the Constructs power, but you could power stunt off of this. You can basically create objects like, you know, solid objects or armor or things like that. But if you want to make a like a living or animate kind of creature or summon a construct, you could do that as a power stunt off of your spells. Or you could, you know, you do have mental communication as well. You could try and, the two of you could try and find, or you've got your astral projection. I forgot about that. You can use remote sensing and zoom around and investigate.
That would probably be the most straightforward way. If just as long as there's somewhere I can stash the carcass, you know, until I get back.
Yeah, leave your body with your friends.
Yeah, do I trust you guys?
Good friends.
We promise not to write on you with magic marker.
Thank you.
good friends help you move. Better friends help you move
help
a body.
Help you move the body, right? Yeah.
But
whichever way seems like it would be the best.
Yeah, I would actually be happy with you doing some sort of summoning, but that's it generally takes a bit of number crunching to make it work, and it's something that is a little easier to do when I have you sitting at the table and I can kind of go over the ideas with you. But if you want to come up with some ideas, and we'll talk about it, and we'll have it ready for like the next time it comes up.
Okay, but, sounds good.
Yeah. So it's definitely possible. You can do that kind of stuff. You can power stunt that kind of stuff, but it's a little easier when you have a more intuitive understanding of how to do power stunts.
Okay, fair enough. Well, in the meantime, I'll go with the astral projection route then, and see if I can spot anything from the air.
All right. So everybody's kind of heading in the general direction that he was found. Last scene, and poor Tabitha gets dropped off at the babysitter's. by the way, when you came back to the library, and you were seeing her to the door, she's kind of like throwing, it's like, you know, I'm not a child, I can take care of myself, kind of thing. And
well, I know, but I'm going to play Mother Hen anyway, so cope with it.
It's like, okay. It's like, if it was anybody else, you know I'd be out of here in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but just at least let me find out if you're the she that the professor was even talking about. If he is looking for you, I don't want you out wandering around by yourself, because he was a bad boy back in the day.
And she goes, it's like, I wouldn't have done anything to aggravate him. I haven't had an encounter with black magic in months.
Well, it may be that I'm freaking out for nothing, but just do me a favor, okay? Pretend like maybe you're in trouble and stay here until I make sure you're not.
All right. She sort of spreads her hands and goes, whatever, and she turns back inside. And as she's going in, the door opens, and you see the Asian woman coming out of the building at the same time, and sort of over her shoulder you catch a glimpse of Jonathan Bradbury kind of like bowing and dismissing her, and as he's shutting the door behind her, or trying to, Tabitha's trying to move in, and he just kind of rolls his eyes and disappears back into the library. The woman turns to you. Oh, there, Tali was happy enough to throw us some stats for a dog. That
oh, excellent.
He could very quickly summon... actually, with 10 points, you could easily do several of those.
That comes straight out of the DC Heroes and Villains Volume 2.
Yep.
Awesome. So, thank you.
Yeah, so we could easily, you know, power stunt that if you wanted to summon a group of dogs of some kind, fairy hounds or something, to cool. help you with tracking. So anyway, you just need to come up with a good descriptor that matches where you want to pull them from, like if you want to pull them from another much. Anyway, back to the scene at hand. You've got this Asian woman leaving, and she kind of looks at you as she's stepping out of the building, and a car pulls up, and she sort of kind of nods coldly to you, and she's walking over to the car. You notice a pale woman step out of the car and hold the door for her, and the rain seems to slack off at this point, and as the woman steps out of the car, you see a pale woman, like with platinum white hair and just very pale white skin and red eyes, kind of look at you and quirk an eyebrow as everyone else is getting into the car, or as the Asian woman's getting into the limousine. And I don't know if you wanted to do a quick detect magic on her or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, actually, yeah, for you, it's just a matter of doing a perception check.
Okay. Ooh, natural 20. What do I win?
Whenever you roll a natural.
That's a 20-31.
Whenever you roll a natural 20, you get to increase your result by one success.
Okay.
So it's kind of like getting a plus 5.
Okay.
And a Cupid doll, right?
And a Cupid.
Yeah, and there a Cupid doll.
You notice the woman, the pale woman, has magic on her, and she seems to be a magical creation or creature of some kind, but you're not sure what it is. But you notice that she's wearing a powerful mystic artifact around her neck. Seems to be using black magic, but if she's in the company of a high-level library operative, that's not completely unheard of. But the red eyes and the white skin, I'm going to roll for your... And I just rolled a natural 20 for that as well, so that's kind of crazy. Mm. She kind of looks to you. As she closes the door and gets back in the car, you recognize that she didn't cast a reflection in the mirror in the window of the car. So when she got back in, she's like, "Wait, she doesn't have a shadow or a reflection."
Creepy. Okay.
All right, and then. You get the phone call saying, this is where we're trying to find the people. And so, looking at the summon spell, which is what we want to do, the summon power, what you can do is... Where's my summoning skill? Basically, it's 2 points per rank, and if you're power stunting this, you're going to use extra effort to power stunt it off of your array... off of your spell array, and then you're going to say, okay, instead of using like your affliction or mystic bolt I believe all of your array powers are 24 points. Yeah, so you got 24 points to spend on the summon, which would then let you essentially summon... let's see. You're going to want a horde, so multiple minions, and then for each additional minion... it's a plus 2 cost per rank, so that would be 4 points per rank, and then if you can summon them all, and that would be 5 points per rank. So 5 points per rank, you would be able to bring up 2 15 point, let's see, just trying to think, 20. Then I'll put a flaw in there, just making you, giving you some cast time. That would make it... So you can summon some fairy hounds, or whatever you want to call them, and that would be... What is it? How many is that? 2 multiple minions. 1, you can summon 2. Multiple minions 2, you can summon 4. And actually, since you don't need to do it in combat... You can actually skip the horde extra and just summon them one by one until they're all out. And then
okay,
that would just cost 2, 4 points per rank, 6 points per rank, minus the 1, 5 points per rank. So that would give you the ability to pull out 6 hounds. I think each one is 10 points, right?
Each right. Hounds?
Yeah, it's only 10 points. So you could easily pull up, like, 2, 4 hounds and do a team search attack with them.
Yeah, there. I'm picturing something that looks like a kind of a cross between a greyhound-shaped dog and a long Chinese dragon. Okay. Not completely canine, but something that looks sort of reptilian and canine, but something that's got the all the dog stats.
Okay, are you pulling where are you pulling them from? Do you want to say it's the fairy realms, or do you want to come up with something else?
I'm thinking constructs. I think that they're not actually alive. Okay. I think they're like magical robots, for lack of a better term.
Cool. Okay. Sounds good to me. All right then. They are I'm gonna basically say that they are another 4 characters that can aid you all in a big team check. You guys are all gonna try and find this guy before he causes any more problems. So you all spread out over a large area and are starting to search. So I'm gonna have each of you make an investigation roll or a perception check. And I'm gonna say that let's see, with a team check, you're all trying to beat the same difficulty number, and then for each success... well, actually, wait. Let me correct myself here. I'm double-checking what the area is going to be. Okay. Yeah, everyone who's not leading the team check gets to roll against a 10, and then the leader is gets to add bonuses to their role based on the number of successes that everyone else achieved. So, who's got the best search skill and wants to take the lead on this?
I've got a plus 10 perception.
Okay.
That beats mine.
Yeah, I've got a perception of plus 11, perception 4.
Okay. All right. So you're better than me at that.
Okay. Tully? Tully? Are you there?
Sorry, I was on mute. Mine's only an 8.
Only an 8? Okay. All right, then, Lynn, you'd probably be leading it, so your dogs can help the other guys generate some numbers. So I'll have you roll for the dogs.
Okay.
And you can roll for each of them. So basically your goal is to try and beat a 4. They have a... what their perception is a plus 5. I mean, said so they want to beat a 10. So
okay.
Roll 5 or higher for each of them and they succeed.
That's a All right, that's 16 and 5. That's a 21 for one of them.
Okay.
And 10 and 5, a 15 for number 2.
Okay.
Oh, another natural 20. I'm liking this die, I think. So 25 for number 3. And 13 and 5 is 18 for the fourth one.
All right.
Good dogs.
Good dogs.
Good dogs. Good doggies. Good doggies.
All right. And they do have the track extra, so they can... They're really good at this. All right. And you guys are probably freaking out, the cops showing up, like, where the cops were still trying to clean up a crime scene and getting the tow truck to try and flip the car back over. And you show up with these crazy robot alien fairy dogs who suddenly you summon, and they start sniffing around the area and barking and growling, and then they start rushing off to the side, and the cops are all just kind of staring at you like, what the hell was that?
The poor cops. Yeah. They don't deserve they don't deserve what they get from us.
As we go by the cops, Time Slip says, hey, at least you don't have to pick up after the dogs.
Tempest could probably just flip the car back over. There you go.
Yeah, so I was going to volunteer to do that if they needed me to.
It's like, here you go. Ka-chung.
Let me get that for you.
And they're all like, jump back. And then I think you said that Starchild was going to hang back. Right? Or he's trying to be indiscreet.
I mean,
or discreet,
yeah, normally I try to be discreet. I can fly out of sight if need be, because right. I can keep everybody mentally in touch from pretty much anywhere in the state.
All right.
So
everybody else, aside from Lynn, go ahead and roll your perception/search checks and tell me what you get. Increasing your difficulty just because you don't actually have the... if you don't have the tracking feature, I think Tempest tracking feature only works with magic, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's only with his mystic sense.
Yeah. So we're gonna just have you guys roll normal perception checks, but you're up rolling against a 15.
Okay. Starchild made it by a wide margin.
So what'd you roll?
26.
26 minus 15 is plus 11. Okay. Tempest?
Tempest got a 23.
23 minus 15 is an 8. All right. Time Slip.
And I rolled a 1, so I have a total of 9.
Oh. So he's actually minus 9. He's at a minus 6.
He's chasing the dogs. He's not
he's chasing the dogs. He's trying to get the dogs to go one way, and that's the wrong way. So basically we have, from the players, we've got 2, 3, minus 1, so plus 2 successes. From the dogs, we have 1, 2, 3, that's 10, that's 2, so that's 2 plus 1 is 3 plus 4, so that's 7. So yeah, you guys got like 8 successes total here. You guys are tracking him down and running out towards the beach, and you see a side road that it's basically like A1A running up next to the beach and a couple of gas stations nearby, and you see a car screeching to a halt as a huge big red alien thing is kind of stomping across the road. His car almost hits him, and he turns and snarls at the car, and the car backs up into another car. And it is nighttime, though, and doesn't look like there's a lot of people on the road. So this creature just keeps pounding, like, down the street, like he's making his way towards Beacon City. But you've actually caught up to him before. He was, like, walking straight towards a very busy intersection. So you guys have managed to caught up to him, catch up to him before that. And how do you guys approach him?
Actually, if I can see him, I'm going to try and do something to him immediately because okay. he's fairly dangerous. I'm going to try and hit him with mental paralysis from a distance.
Okay.
That's a DC 18 affliction resisted by will. I don't have to roll to hit.
Okay, let's have everybody roll initiative then. Let's see. You're gonna get kind of an extra action before the initiative because you're initiating it. But time slip, what's your initiative?
I roll
right
here.
34. Okay. Jade Witch.
Not anything like a 34. I'm a 17.
Okay, Starchild.
11.
Okay, Tempest.
9. I'm sorry, 19.
Oh, that would be different.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. All right. So, the first person to go is going to be Starchild, who is reaching out and trying to inflicting blindness, right? Or was it paralysis?
Paralysis.
Paralysis. So. Okay.
Oh, do I need to roll initiative for the dogs, or do they go on mine?
Did you want to keep them around, or do you want to switch to a different power and have them go away?
Good point. Okay, we'll let the doggies go away.
Okay. They're probably not... They weren't designed for combat on this level.
No, not hardly. Poor little guys.
Although you could send them to their dooms, and they would merrily obey.
I don't think I would be very happy if I did that. I hate to think I would feel guilty for destroying a construct that isn't alive in the first place, but I bet I would.
All right. So the mental blindness is perception range, right? Or the paralysis, right. Perception range.
Yeah, so he just resists.
Right. What's the difficulty on that one?
18. Resisted by will.
Okay. All right. And his resistance as well. Yeah.
Now, does he still get the dodge check first to see if he gets full or half effect or
no? With perception ranged single target attacks, you just hit. Cool. There's no dodge. Okay. And in this case, you basically try to paralyze him, and you see this guy react. He definitely knows you've just tried something, and he spins around and snarls at you. He looks really angry, but he doesn't look paralyzed.
That was what I was afraid of. Okay.
Okay, so that was the first round action. Now we're going to actually go into initiative rounds, and the first person to go is Time Slip.
All right. Well, we've got all these hero points burning a hole in my pocket here, so I'm going to go ahead and power stunt right off the top. He's going to run. Now, what's the terrain like that we're on right now? Is it dusty? Is it a road?
It's actually you're near the beach, so you can smell the ocean. There's some sand on the side of the road, but it's basically A1A. It's a road that runs along the highway, and there are like gas stations and other off ramps. It's like a road that tends to run parallel to the interstate for good long stretches, and then they kind of split off from each other. But so there's a lot of little businesses and restaurants that are spaced out. So there's a lot of room between buildings here. It's not very crowded, but walking towards a busy intersection where there's a lot of buildings and stuff. So
okay.
But the immediate area there's not a lot of. People or constructions around here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to run up the street. I'm going to grab like two or three, regular small round trash cans. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run back full speed and throw them all up in the air and kind of like start shredding the bags as they're coming down so that the debris is going everywhere. And then I'm going to zoom around in a circle, creating like this vortex of trash, paper, and debris all kind of going around him to try to kind of like do a dazzle effect on him.
So you're basically trying to blind him?
Yes.
Okay. What do you want to use as the... so you're power stunting this off of your
off of my speed. Yeah.
Okay. What do you want to his resistance to be for... Is this an area effect, or is this... Are you going to be targeting him specifically?
No, it's targeting him specifically, and okay. Let's just go ahead and make it a probably fortitude, I guess, since it's a physical debris, like, floating around him, blocking him.
Yeah, or you know, it could be... reflex if it's just like blowing papers in his face or something. It's up to you.
Yeah, maybe a dodge effect.
Okay. Yeah, dodge. I'm still using second edition terminology.
Yeah.
I keep catching myself doing that. All right, so so roll an attack roll, see if you hit him.
Okay. That's not gonna work. I got an 11 altogether. Let me go ahead and I don't know. You said last time that it's okay to spend another hero point on something separate.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I'll do that to reroll then.
Okay. I mean, and as I mentioned before, you don't necessarily have to spend a hero point on a power stunt until the next round, too. So
sure, you could do the fatigue thing. Okay. Yeah. I've got a 6 on that roll with the total of 15, so that brings it up to a 25.
25 to hit. That will definitely hit his parry.
And it's just a 20 DC.
Okay, he has rolled against the 20. All right. This is dodge, right?
Right.
Okay. Papers are blowing into his face, and he just kind of swipes them out of his face and ducks down to a crouch really fast, getting in under the wind, and is able to avoid getting blinded by the debris.
Sure.
But he moves a lot faster than you would think for somebody his size.
Yeah.
You're actually quite surprised.
Yeah, I was going to say he's probably really surprised.
Yeah. You expected big, slow, cumbersome thought, and this guy kind of drops, spreads his legs out into a combat pose, almost like Spider-Man, gets down low to the ground, and just kind of growls at you, and that's time slips action, and he gets to go. He sort of growls and then grins, and he says, "Ah, so the Star Child is not alone. Good. Kogar hasn't had a good fight in weeks."
I yell out, "Uh-oh, guys, he knows who we are."
And he's going to charge at you and take a swing, punching at Time Slip.
I'm going to interpose.
Okay.
Well, actually, I should wait to see if he hits or not, but I want to interpose.
Okay. So he rolls to hit Time Slip. Time Slip, your parry is a 13, so he has hit a 23, and right. He hits a 25. So he does hit Tempest. You want to get in the way?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Tempest suddenly jumps in front of him, and Kogar hits you. You are going to make a toughness check.
Okay.
My eyes are like as big as saucers. I cannot believe this thing is moving as fast as it is.
All right. I got my 20 of the night. So that would be a 32, Kogar.
All right. So actually, let's see. Powers. Yeah. So he hits you and you don't take any damage. It's like boom. He hits you with a pretty powerful punch. It's It sounds almost like a I'm just trying to think of it like a huge rock hitting the ground, like this massive thud, wood, as he punches you in the chest, and he kind of staggers back and looks at you, and he seems to grin.
Oh, I'll grin back at him.
Oh, all right. So that was Kogar's action, and he's not going to take a move action. So we go on at Tempest. It's your turn.
Okay. I will say it's my turn now, and I will try to punch him in the snoot.
All right.
So I'm going to spend a hero point because that was crappy. Okay, so it's at least a 10, so that would be a 18.
An 18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so your damage is what?
It's strength 12.
Actually, so... wait, you said you hit an 18?
Yeah.
Okay. You missed.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually steps back and kind of blocks you and falls into some almost like martial arts style pose. This guy's like massive. I mean, he's literally 8 feet tall, but he moves like a trained fighter as opposed to like a big cumbersome monster. And he kind of drops back into a fighting pose and blocks your punch. And he goes, "Ah, that was a good punch, kid. Next time don't telegraph so much."
Okay.
Jade Witch.
All right. I think this guy needs to slow down. I'm going to try to immobilize him.
Okay.
That's Mystic Binding Affliction 12.
Okay. And yours is a ranged attack, so you're going to have to roll an attack roll. Mm-hmm. And it will be... it's resisted by will. Okay. So roll your attack roll.
Alrighty. It's, what am I? Mystic Binding, plus 8. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's not very good. Okay, 15.
So you rolled a 15 total?
Yeah, 15 total.
Okay. You... unleash. What does the look of your magic look like when you cast these spells? What is the visual? What is the visual?
For this, it looks like it's coming out of the ground. The dogs also looked like they were made of clay or ceramic. Mm-hmm. They came up out of the ground. This is a set of big flat bands of ceramic-y, clay-looking material that come up out of the ground and try to pin him down, basically.
Okay.
Like over his feet or over his hands or over, you know, just whatever position that he's in that would make it whatever I can reach the easiest.
Okay. These things all kind of reach up. They kind of have this kind of phantasmal quality to them. And he looks at them, tilts his head for a second, and then he brings his arms together and smashes them. And he says, "Good try. But it's going to take a lot more than that to immobilize me. I know your kind, witch."
Frump.
Hmm.
Okay. Is that the way it's going to be?
And he looks up at Starchild, who's kind of hanging back in the distance, and he says, "So are you going to get down here and play too, or are you just going to watch your friends fight your battles for you?"
Oh, smart.
And it's Starchild's turn.
Yeah. I'm going to try something a little bit tricky here. I'm going to jab at his mind again. I don't know if you want me to use a hero point for this to stunt it, but basically I'm throwing a bunch of mental chaff his way that makes, you know, kind of like he's being attacked, but I'm really trying to do a setup on him.
Okay, so you're trying to basically trick him using telepathy, but you're using the setup effect. So
it would be a deception.
Excuse me. your skill in deception is actually pretty high.
Yeah.
So if you wanted, I'll just get a call out of deception check.
Okay.
So you're basically trying to feed him mental static and distract him and set him up. So go ahead and roll a deception check.
Yeah, that's a 26.
Nice. Okay. He's going to roll a... he's got to roll a... sense, motive, or willpower, I think.
I think insight, not sense motive.
That's the new name. Again, second edition name for the insight. So, insight or willpower, which is higher. Okay. And finally, a lower roll. All right, he rolls a 21 total. What was your total?
26.
26. Okay, you have managed to do a feint on him.
Okay.
And
I will so he's vulnerable to Tempest and Time Slip.
Okay.
And that's my action.
All right.
Good job.
So now you guys have a chance to take a whack at him. Let's see here. And it is Time Slip's turn.
Okay. I am going to... let's see. I guess now that I see that he's kind of, stunned there and left vulnerable, I am going to run in and try to trip him.
Okay.
No. Actually, you know what? I'll just go run in and even though he's big and armored and everything, I'm going to zoom myself up, turn the dial. I go zooming in, tracers of myself zooming in behind me. And I'm just going to go slamming in with as many punches as I can get in on him.
This is a multi-attack, right?
Yes, doing my multi-attack.
All right.
So let me roll that up. And I rolled a 20 to hit.
Which normally would not hit him, but vulnerable, so that does hit. So he is actually, just double checking something here on the numbers, but I believe, so that would be, I think it beats him by a 5, which means that you get a +2, I think, to your damage.
If it's 2 degrees, I get +2, and if it's 3 degrees or more, I get a +5.
Isn't it 1 to 2 degrees, or is it only 2 or higher?
Yeah, it's only 2 or higher.
Oh, okay, so 5 points is only 1 degree, right? Or exactly what you need, +5. Yeah. Go ahead and take a +2 to the damage.
Okay.
And so what's that damage then?
DC 24.
DC
24.
24. All right, that includes the 15, that's right. I'm just asking for the damage bonus itself rather than the with the +15 base.
Oh, cause, sure.
Because I'm looking it up on the damage matrix. So.
Well, then in that case, it would be 9.
Right, so it's a 9. And, ow. Okay, he rolls really
well. I'm used to doing all the DC math in my head all the time. So.
I know. I've gotten old, so I'm lazy. I use the chart. So basically you're going to do, and you start punching, and he just kind of stands there taking it, and you're actually moving him backwards like a few inches on the ground. It's like his feet are getting pushed back, and he's like holding his breath and like flexing against the punches, and you kind of back off, and he just looks at you and he goes, "Oh, it was pretty good. Can you get me on the back a little bit there, kid? Got this little stiff point I'm trying to work out."
Well, if you don't end up killing me, talk to me later. Maybe we can work out an arrangement.
He's like, "All right, well, try this." And he brings his hands together and claps them powerfully. And creates a huge shockwave. This is an area effect. Tempest and Time Slip are both in this area. So go ahead and roll. You guys also get a... you also get a hero point for this.
Cool. Sure.
Because he's power stunting.
And I do have evasion, but just the one degree, so it's a plus two to my dodge.
Okay.
Okay, I got a 17 dodge.
Okay.
And I got 23.
All right. So this is basically... perfect 10. Okay. So, I'm sorry, can you list a 17 and a 23? Is that what you said for the dodges?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The 23 avoids it, so you get to reduce the damage by half, and the other one doesn't. So both of you roll toughness saves against a damage of 10. So, actually, the one who got it, that was time slip, right? You get to reduce the damage to 5, rather.
Okay, well, I rolled 14 altogether.
So...
So I missed it by two degrees.
So yeah, you're at a dazed at minus one.
Tempest got a 31.
I think that actually takes no damage. Yep. So you take no effect.
I yell, as I go tumbling through the air.
Okay. And Tempest takes nothing. Okay. All right. So that's Kogar's action. Tempest.
Yeah, let me see if I can get that spot for you, and I will haul off and try to punch him again.
Okay. Any particular maneuvers, or are you just...
No, just standard attack? Standard attack, and once again, I'm rolling cruddy, so I'm going to spend that new hero point.
Okay.
And I got another 10. So hopefully, since he's vulnerable to me, that's 18 will work.
Well, if you roll a 10 on a hero point reroll, that counts as a 20.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was like minimum 10. I rolled a 4, so that's a 14?
Yeah.
Ah.
No, what happens is if it's less than 11, you add 10 to it. So, okay. In this case, it's a 14 on the die.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so 14 and 8 is 22 to
22,
hit.
That hits. Okay, so what's your damage again?
Strength 12.
Okay. Okay, he rolls low for his toughness save this time. 12 versus that. And you knock him back. He is dazed and gets a minus one.
Ooh.
Alright. So, Kogar staggers back, and he's like, ah, finally, someone who can hit. And he's kind of staggering around, but looks like he's trying to act tough still. Jade Witch.
This guy is cracking me up. well, I'll try again for the immobilize. Why not? Maybe it'll work better this time.
All right, attack
roll. It's worth a try. The same visual effect, you know, the ceramic bands. And that's a 12 plus a... Find it. 12 plus 8, 20.
All right. That is going to hit him. So now he has to roll a will check against an 18, is that right? What's the effect value of the spell?
First degree, hindered vulnerable. Second degree, defenseless immobile. Resisted by will, DC 22.
There you go. That's what I was looking for, DC 22. So it's a DC 12, or affliction of 12. So he has to roll against the 22 to resist it. And he is really resisting things well tonight. They kind of grab onto him, but like disintegrate as they touch him again. His willpower is still not shaken. Yeah, he rolled a 17 on the die. So, you can take that for what you will as what you think his willpower is, but you think he's got a very strong willpower.
Yeah, apparently. Pretty darn.
All right. And that was Jade Witch's turn, unless you want to try and surge and go again.
No.
Okay. Starchild?
Yeah, I'm just going to try and metal blast him.
Okay.
So that's perception again, and it's DC 21, resisted by will.
Right. So this one, in this one, it's actually damage, right? And it's resisted by will. And I'm looking at the wrong character. La la la. There we go. So it's damage 6, mental. So he has to actually roll against the 21 with his willpower, but it's a toughness for damage. So he's got a minus 1 because he's taken a hit. All right. At least I apply it this way. So 21. He actually does not take damage from that.
Damn his strange and alien ways.
You can sense that he's got a very, very strong will. In fact, it may actually be his strongest attribute. Or one of his strongest attributes.
Make it difficult.
Actually, who had assessment?
I do, but that requires an action, I think.
Well, generally, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Choose
although,
a target.
Although I tend to play with things a little more in my in my home games a little more abstractly than that.
I have assessment as well too.
Yeah. Okay. It's insight versus deception, I think, and then it gives.
What's your willpower, Starchild?
My will is 10.
Okay. You get the sense that his will is stronger than yours.
Yikes. Okay. All right. I will send out, guys, you're going to have to beat him down physically because it's not going to work on the mental front.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that distraction thing you did last time worked great.
Yeah, I'll see if I can do some more of that.
All right. New round. Time slip.
All right. Yeah, I've seen I'm not going to be able to damage this guy. Of course, Time Slip already kind of knew that going into it, but he figured he might as well try. He looked like that was the time to try it. So, basically, is there anybody in danger anywhere around here from our battle? Like any civilians, or is it look clear?
No, you guys managed to hunt him down and find him before he like. Staggered into the middle of an intersection, so you've actually he's about probably half of about a block away from that really busy intersection, but aside from the two cars that were nearby, which are now pretty effectively blocking the road, you guys are pretty lonely out here. It's pretty open.
Okay. Well, I am going to, in that case, I'm going to spend a hero point to power stunt. I'm going to run up to him, get right in front of his face, and I'm going to say, nice trick with that clap. Oh, wait, actually, I'm dazed. You know what? Yeah, actually, I'm just going to, I'm going to hang back and do a recover this round.
Take a recovery action? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, taking a recovery means that you can get rid of that minus one if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do.
So, good. All right. So, I will remove that.
Ding. So, he's just kind of like...
dazed.
Yeah, he's kind of down on one knee, kind of panting. He's like, oh, I'll be back in it in a minute, guys.
It's like, oh, time out, as he's punching his buttons. All right. Koger kind of, like... twitches his neck left and right, making loud cracking noises, and then winds up and he charges towards Tempest and he says, let's see if I can get a twofer, and he's attacking Tempest with a power attack, and and he rolls a 1. Okay. Tempest, your parry is an 8, so he had to hit an 18. He misses. Okay, so he winds up and punches past your head. I'll let you roll. I'll let you describe the miss there.
It just kind of sails past his head, and Tempest says, "That wasn't even a 1 for."
And as you stagger back, you kind of look up and realize that the direction he was punching you at, you would have flown back towards Starchild.
Ah.
All right. So that was Kogar's action. Tempest.
All right. I will wind up.
I'm used to hitting bigger targets than you.
Strangely, I'm not. I got a total of 20 to hit.
Okay. That hits. And this was just a standard attack, or was this a power attack?
Standard attack. Yeah, I can't power attack this guy.
Okay.
If I set him up, you can.
True.
So, let's see here. Damage 12, right?
Yes.
And with his minus 1 from just being hit, I'm looking at the wrong... that bumps him into... dazed and minus 1 penalty territory. So he is dazed again and another minus 1.
Sweet.
Alright. Whack. A hit. A palpable hit.
It might take us all night, but we're going to nickel and dime this guy to death.
Yep.
Okay. Jade Witch.
I'm just going to blast him this time.
Okay.
Hit him with a bolt. So right. That is 18 plus 8, 26.
26 on the attack roll?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that hits. And what was your effect value?
Let's see here.
Bolt damage 12?
Yeah. Mystic Bolt, damage 12, DC 27.
Yep, so damage 12 is what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
so damage
gotcha.
12 versus his resistance roll. And this was versus his will? Or no, this is versus his regular toughness. Okay, so he rolls low for this one. 12, there we go. And then we go 1, 2. Ooh, not quite. Staggered, but close.
Oh.
All right.
We'll get him there.
But he is dazed, right?
Yes, he's still dazed. And now he's got 3 bruises. Ooh. All right, Jade Witch. What did your attack look like? This big, massive attack.
She points a fist at him, and. It flies out of there. It's like a glow that comes out of her fist and flies out like a ball of light. Smacks him.
Shoryuken! Sorry. Street Fighter reference. Alright.
One game at a time.
Yep. Jade Witch blasts him. Starchild, it's up to you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, Starchild, from his airborne position, shouts, "You want me? Fine, try it." And I'm going to basically fly full out and buzz him. You know,
okay.
I'm not going to hang around, but I'm basically going to buzz him at my highest speed and set and use that as a setup.
Okay, so you're gonna do another did you have hang on a second. Just double checking something real quick on your character sheet. Did you non-acrobatics, but you do have a flight of 5, so if you multiply that by 2, that'd be 10, versus your deception. Now your deception is still better, so go ahead and roll a deception check.
Alright.
And
that is a 28 deception.
28 deception. Okay. Nice. Rolled a 16. Nice.
Yep.
All right. And he does not roll a 28 on his willpower check. Okay.
Okay.
So he is now... And who are you setting him up for?
I am setting up Tempest and Jade Witch.
Okay.
Power attack the heck out of him.
Okay. Next round. Time Slip goes first.
All right. Time Slip stands up, and he shakes off this... being thrown back and everything, and he starts thinking to himself, he's like, I know how to do this. What am I thinking? I took down the yak. I know how to take down big guys. And he's going to turn the dial forward, and basically he's going to do a slam attack.
Okay.
He's going to run at full force right directly into this guy. So
now, I have a question for you. Do you have immunity to your own slam damage?
No, I have to do
have to roll a toughness check. Okay.
Yeah, against half damage.
Okay. All right, so you're going to be using either your speed plus two or your toughness plus your strength plus two or your speed, whichever is higher.
Yeah, I'm doing my speed.
Okay, what's your speed rank?
10.
Okay, so that's 10 damage. And are you taking the minus one for the slam? So that would be a total of, I think, a minus two to hit, and then a plus two damage, so you'd get a 12 damage total. Is that right?
Why are you doing the minus two on the
chance? For slam, you get a minus one, and then for the charging attack, you get a minus one, and then you get pluses to your damage. Hang on a second. I'm trying to remember how I calculated that. Oh, that was when your speed is higher, so that second one doesn't count. Okay.
Slam attack, yeah, you don't have any negative against that. And I don't have to do a charge. I'm
right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm used to people who have a really high strength doing it, and it's basically a power attack extension. So in this case, you're just using your regular attack roll, and you're going to be doing a.
It ends up doing 10 damage, but since I'm doing full speed, I get a plus one to the damage.
Right. All right, so, roll your attack roll.
Okay, rolled a 13, so I got a 22 to hit.
Okay, 22 to hit, that hits.
Yes. So 11 damage.
Okay. All right, he is... When you get 11 damage this time, which is
2060.
Okay, I'm minus 1, 2, 3. Okay, he's taking another bruise from that and staggers back a little bit. All right. He is actually already dazed, so he can't be dazed again, but he definitely takes another bruise from that. He's at minus four bruises, excuse me, minus four to toughness checks now.
And then now I got to roll mine against half damage, so right. It'd be a DC 20 for me, and I rolled an 11 plus my 7, so it's an 18, so I missed it by one.
So you take a bruise.
Yep.
Whack.
So we both bruise each other.
Yeah.
Knock heads or something.
So you basically charge in really fast, and he kind of, like, butts heads with you, and you kind of, like, ugh, and then you both stagger back. And he's like, ugh, you have a lot more inertia than someone your size is supposed to have. Ow!
Yep, that's my thing. And he's kind of, like, rubbing the big sore spot on his head.
All right. Kogar gets to go. And, he is going to, since he's kind of turning and trying to swipe at Starchild, but you flew past him too quickly, so he grabs one of the cars that's next to him. The people run out of the car in a panic, and he picks up the car and he throws it at Starchild.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yipes.
All right, Starchild, roll a dodge.
Can I interpose that, or is it an area attack?
It's kind of an area attack, but okay. I'll let you jump in front of it and take the hit for it. Since it's a solid object, it'll stop at you.
All okay. Right, so got. Geez, I'm not used to actually fighting here. My dodge is at a 12.
Well, hang on. Is Tempest gonna interpose?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so you don't need to roll, Starchild. Oh. Basically, Tempest just jumped in front of it and he's taking the hit. So, okay. In this case, just roll a toughness check, Tempest.
Okay, I'm gonna hero point that because okay. That was just embarrassing. There we go, a 20 on the die.
All right.
So I am just 32, and then I guess because it's a 20, 37.
All right.
The car breaks around you.
Yeah, the car basically hits you and wraps around you, and you just kind of flex and tear the car apart and drop to the side. Pieces of like the engine and the wheels falling down to the ground, and you know the big the drive shaft kind of clattering. Toss it all to the side, and you see this young guy off to the side going, "My car!
Sorry!"
All right. So Kogar is still at a disadvantage against Tempest and Jade Witch. So, Tempest, it's your turn.
Yeah, I am going to power attack for 2 since I don't have the feet.
Okay.
And I will...
Did you want to do an all-out attack as well to compensate for the attack shift, or not?
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
All right, so all-out attack.
Because I don't care about my dodge anyway.
Well, isn't he like, vulnerable to you right now?
Yep.
Yeah. So that'll just... I'll be at +2 damage, even on attack, and -2 on defenses.
Yep.
Okay. So I will... Okay, I'm going to roll, use my last hero point, because okay. A 2 is just not going to do it. Okay, let's see.
I thought you still had one left, but
yeah,
maybe I missed one.
Let's see, that's 15 plus 8 is 23, which should hit.
23 should definitely hit, yes. All right, clobber, walk. And he rolls a toughness check against this.
Which is 14 now.
14 damage, okay. Okay, 14 damage is in this column. And that means he is at -1, 2, 3, 4. All right, I'm going to double check I did that right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Yep. Dazed the -1 penalty again, so he takes a hit. And guys are definitely keeping him off balance. He's at -1, a -5 to his bruises now for damage. And he still only gets one action on his next round. Alright. That was Tempest's action. Jade Witch, what do you want to do?
Blast him again.
Okay, now, Jade Witch, I'm trying to bring up your character sheet here. I was just checking to see. You don't actually have the power attack advantage, but mm-hmm. you can do a maneuver. Everyone can do the power attack maneuver, which gives you a chance to increase your damage by up to +2 by dropping your attack bonus by 2. And okay. What he did was he did an all-out power attack, which means he traded his defense for an attack bonus, kind of shifting one to the other to the other. So he took a -2 to his defenses and then took a +2 to his damage. If you wanted to do something along those lines, you could. You can do that with magic spells and powers. All right, you're going to do an all-out power attack as well?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That would be a -2 to your defense. Your attack bonus will be normal, and you'll get +2 damage.
Okay.
He'd be vulnerable.
Yep, so, he is vulnerable to you this round, so he's easy to hit.
Yeah, 6 and 8 is 14. Does that work? Do I need to redo it?
I'm sorry, what,
does a 14 to hit get him?
You want to spend a hero point on it?
Yeah, I do. Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's much prettier. Okay, how about a 25?
25 to hit. That hits. Okay, and that's, again, 14 damage. Zoop. One, two, three, four, five. And he and you KO him in one hit.
Nice.
Kablam! So, do you want to describe that for us?
Well, let's see. If she's doing an all-out attack and her defenses are down, that means she's going to be stock still in the air, and she's probably going to take a couple of extra seconds to aim. And the bolt pretty much looks the same, but she just takes extra time about it and makes sure it goes exactly between his eyes.
Okay. Blammo hits him right between the eyes, and his head snaps back, and he kind of staggers back a few steps before he realizes he's out of the fight, and kind of just plops to his butt and kind of sits there, his head smoking, and kind of a lopsided grin stuck on his face. he's out of the fight. All right.
I'm going to zoom over to Tempest, and I'm going to look at, the fallen foe, and then look over to Jade Witch and say, remind me never to get on her bad side.
Yeah, you can't see it behind the mask, but I'm grinning.
You're like, I got him. I took him down. I took down
I
the
got
big
him.
Guy.
Yeah, I'm trying not to do the, the happy white girl dance up in the air, trying to be dignified. Yeah.
All right.
Good work. Now, how do we keep him under control?
Well, we should call Captain Archon and
yes
for a pickup.
All right.
The message is already relayed.
Okay, you guys are all kind of dropping into a semicircle around him, and he kind of shakes his head slowly and blinks a few times and looks up at you guys, and he goes, all right, I guess you earned this. And he, like, reaches behind himself and pulls out, like a fanny pack that, but it looks like this big, bulky, mechanical thing that's strapped around his waist. And he pulls it out and he places it on the ground, and he points at Starchild, and he goes, "That's for you."
What?
What is it?
Oh, seriously? You want me to open it? He picks it back up again, and he unscrews the top. And he holds it back out to you, and he opens it, and he holds it. He's like, I thought you would have had unscrewing technology here.
Well, it might have been a bomb.
Are you going to fly over and see what's in it?
Yes, I am, but at the same time, I'm going to say, what are you?
He's like, today, I'm a delivery man. Usually, I'm a bounty hunter. Now, quickly take this so I can get back to serious work.
No, you're going to jail.
Yes, I don't think so.
Oh, but we do.
Did Lobo just leave me a package?
You look inside and you see it actually looks like cloth and fabric rolled up and stuffed into the cylindrical container.
Okay, I'll reach in and pull it out.
Okay, you pull it out and you see this red costume. And he goes, and the guy kind of looks at it and he goes, "That was your dad's."
Ooh.
Okay. You knew my dad? You know my dad? I don't have a dad. All these thoughts are running through my head.
The rest is up to you to figure out. I was just running an errand for a friend, paying off a favor. And he starts to stand up.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
He starts to stand up. I didn't know if you guys were going to try and interrupt him or...
Oh, yeah, hey, no getting up there.
He pushes a little button on something in his hand, and he goes, "Seriously, we're done here." And a series of bright lights start shining from above, and you see what looks like a UFO suddenly appear in the air above you.
Zoinks. Huh.
Hey, if he's leaving peacefully, let him go. Like, wave him off.
It's up to you guys. You want to try and keep him in custody, or you want to let him go?
Oh, he beat up cops. I mean, that's just plain wrong. I don't mind failing if he's going to get away, but I'd try to keep him there.
All right. So you want to explain to him why you're trying to keep him in custody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You beat up police officers. We don't like that on this planet. So you've got to go to jail.
He looks at you and he goes, "Police officers, where?
Back that-a-way, wherever it was that you..."
Those janitors?
No, they were cops.
The guys with the big flashing lights?
Yes.
That's what you call cops?
Yes, and so you've got to go to jail.
He just sort of looks at you for a minute, and he goes, "Ugh." And, like, pulls out this little controller and starts pushing buttons on it, and a huge pile of boxes suddenly drops down, like teleports down around you and slams into the ground. And he pulls one of the boxes and rips the top of it off. And he starts tossing gold bars out of it onto the ground. And he says, "All right, how much is this going to cost me?"
Okay, I officially love Kogar.
I'm just going to be boggled. I don't know how to answer this one.
Join the Boggle Club. You're looking at the costume, trying to figure out.
This is when you want to be playing Booster Gold, so that you can just start grabbing gold bars and say, "Yo, yeah, this is plenty. This, yeah."
I guess we could call Captain Archon and ask what the fine would be.
How much it costs to send those cops to the hospital?
You
want to
call Captain Archon and try and get some legitimate update here?
Okay. I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, mental connection. Guys, as hard as he was to put down, I worry what he would do to any jail.
Point.
Very true. I like your point about making sure they get enough to take care of the officer's medical bill. So that's we should try to do that.
Yeah, that seems fair to me. I mean, even if he was just being a glorified delivery boy, he was a little bit snarky about it. And putting people in the hospital is not the way to deliver stuff.
All right.
He's an alien. We don't know his ways.
Well, these are our ways.
When in Rome.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I guess when there's a big enough pile of gold to give to the cops.
He kind of pulls out a little gadget, and he's like, Archon kind of finally shows up in a helicopter. She's too tired to use her suit right now, but she shows up in suit anyway, just in case. But she kind of coordinates with you guys and gets on the horn with somebody called the Beta Men. You're not sure what she's talking about, but she's like, saying, "Well, there's an agency for this. Let me see what they say." And they're like, "Oh, they've heard of this one. They say if he leaves, he's not an invader. He tends to not show up unless somebody's breaking the law already." So, And once you guys explain about the police officers, he's like, "Oh, well, if anybody really got hurt, sure, here." He slides over about $150,000 worth of gold. and she goes, "I think that'll be enough." He's like, "Fine." He teleports the rest away. And he kind of like turns around like he's about to leave, and then he turns back and he walks over to you guys and kind of like puts his hands on his hips and kind of glowers at, and he goes, you know, you guys would have been a lot more trouble if you'd learned to coordinate a little better. You got good towards the end there, though. He sort of rubs his forehead and he says, you know, once you guys start thinking like a team, you might actually be dangerous. And then turns and, like, teleports himself back up to the saucer.
Wait!
I love this guy. Oh, good times. Well, he is kind of right.
Yeah, I thought we did teamwork pretty great.
Well, you know, I'm just getting to know you guys. It'll probably take me a little while, but yeah, we probably could have worked a little better as a team. Not too bad, but we could always get better.
Yeah.
Looking at the costume and just, this doesn't answer anything.
Well, what does it look like?
And is there an instruction book? Because you're not supposed to lose this.
Oh, God.
Hey!
Which one of you had blonde curly hair? Oh, my God. It wasn't him, was it?
Hook's time slip.
Oh, okay. Whew. Oh, my gosh.
Believe it or not.
Do-do-do-do-do.
All right, guys, I think that's probably a good place to go ahead and call it a night. What do you think? Is there anything you guys wanted to do, especially with any investigations or open plot threads before I close the podcast?
Well, we should make sure that Tabitha didn't disappear or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Time Slip's also going to, like, zoom back to the restaurant and mm-hmm. make sure that our bill got paid. And he's gonna look at all those wasted wings and just sigh and then zoom into the kitchen, bundle them up at super speed, and then take them to a homeless shelter.
Okay. Actually, this is a really good point. You grab the wings and you take them to the homeless shelter. And you kind of run down the street to a nearby homeless shelter and show up. And just as you're getting there, you see a dog wearing a hat and a vest leaving the homeless shelter. And there's a man with a camera following him.
Nero.
Yeah.
So you've just run back to the homeless shelter to deliver the food. And as you're delivering the food, you see Nero the News Hound leaving, and you're kind of turning over to a very grateful social worker who's here. You know, this pile of food. And he's like, oh, yes. He's like, this will be wonderful. And he turns and he starts distributing the food to some of the people who are spending the night at the homeless shelter. And you're glancing around, and you see about maybe like 100 beds or something scattered around, but it looks like only about 20 of them have people kind of clustered around them. And you see a lot of families here, as well as individuals who don't have a home. And you see Nero the News Hound kind of pop up and or sit up and like quirk an ear, you know, quirk his head as he looks over, and he's like, well, very nice of you to drop off with some snacks.
Do you like chicken?
He's like, ah, you should know better than to feed chicken bones to a dog, young man.
Well, that's true, but I figured you could talk. Maybe you could pick him out. I don't know.
He sort of like wags his tail and grins at you and says, so, what are you doing here, young fella?
Oh, just had a kind of a busy day, and our food got wasted, me and my friends, so I figured I'd bring it here.
Ah, just coincidence, then. Thought you might be investigating the same story I am.
Why, what do you mean?
Oh, just strange disappearances all over town. Large groups of homeless people have been just turning up missing.
No, I hadn't heard about this. That is really terrible and interesting. I tell you what, do you want some help?
He sort of looks at you and he goes, "Tell you what, boy." He reaches into his vest and with his mouth and pulls out a business card and passes it over to you.
Sure, I'll grab it out of his mouth. Like I, you he know, goes, shake it a little bit to get the dog song.
He's like, "I'll give you a call tomorrow. See if we can't coordinate some efforts here."
All right. Well, you look like you want to go take a nap, so I'm out of here. Later, and he zooms on out.
All right. Anybody else want to wrap up a loose end before they take off?
As long as Tabitha wasn't eaten while we were gone, I'm good.
Nope. Yeah. Tabitha is like asleep in the library and kind of snoring.
Excellent.
And
I think Starchild needs to have like a final shot, like at the on top of the observatory, floating above it in the costume, looking up at the stars.
Costume fits perfectly, by the way.
Yes, of course it does. Yes, but you know, with you know a thought balloon, you're out there somewhere. I'll find you.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Now everybody's going to get another 2 experience points tonight.
Cool.
I'm going to go through and add that to my version of the characters. Did anybody have anything that they were looking forward to putting experience points towards?
I think I need to fly faster.
Okay.
This is the second time we've played and the second time that I've wanted to fly faster than I'm able to, so I think I'd better buy it up.
Yeah, I think I want to put 1 point into perception to boost that up to a +10, and then maybe add 1 more to my defensive roll.
I'll add those in a minute. Let me jump back over to the Jade Witch. Put the journal entry in. Add new journal entry, episode 2. Or episode 3. And we are going to look at 2 more power points there. So you actually have 4 power points to spend, and you have the power of flight. Shielded flight, which is a... flight of 4 and your protection, so you could just buy that straight up. 1 point would be 1 rank would be 2 points, another rank would be all 4 of your experience points, and that would bring you up to 120 miles an hour normal flight.
Wowie, okay, that's probably excessive. But 60 miles an hour ought to be fine.
Okay, so hey, you never know when you might have to chase a jet.
Is that a hint? Do I need to put all 4 points into flight?
I'm not saying you need to do anything. I'm just saying it, you know, it's a superhero game. You never know what you could use.
Yeah, okay, put all 4 in there.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So that goes from 30 to 120.
Yep, so you're at flight 6 Excellent. Now.
Beautiful.
All right. Time slip. What were you saying you were going to do? You had I had not recorded anything changes for your character since the first game. So what changes did you have?
2 points in the advantage of which one? Setup.
Okay.
Then 1 point into perception, which would bring it from a +8 up to a +10. And
okay,
and then 1 more point in defensive roll, which you go into the powers under the perks of being a time master.
Okay, and that goes up to there it is. Defensive roll goes up to a 6. Okay, all right. All right, Tempest, did you want to do anything with your experience?
No, I think I'm going to save him. I don't know what I want to do yet, so I'll just bank him for now.
Okay, episode 3, 2 more points. Doing. Alright, let's see. Tempest, Jade Witch, Starchild. Starchild, did you want to do anything with those?
I need to look at things, but what I'm thinking is that possibly the costume has some life support and sensory stuff built into it, perhaps, that I'm going to have to discover. And I'm going to look at the book and see what looks interesting.
Yeah.
I'll let you know offline.
For the sake of the costume and costs of it, if you want to put like the life support in the costume, I'll let you buy it as equipment.
Oh, okay.
Considering that it could fail or be destroyed or whatever, if somebody targets it. But if you need like life support cheaply, it might be doable that way.
Okay. So
I'll let you kind of decide what kind of powers you want to put into it and whether you want it to be kind of that equipment level of durability or if you want something more super heroic durability.
Okay.
But is there anything else you guys wanted to do before we call it a wrap?
I'm good.
Actually, I did want to ask you, and this is something I usually do after a game, and this is kind of a wrap session kind of thing, since we do have a little extra time. When I'm running a game, one of the things I kind of like to do is ask my players what were the highlights of that session and kind of ask them, you know, what... I heard Lynn say multiple times she really likes Kogar.
Yeah, he was fun.
How do the rest of you guys feel? I mean, are there any characters in this adventure that you would want to see come back again?
The mystical guys were interesting.
Yeah.
In fact, I was a little disappointed we weren't fighting them. but my mood is kind of in a mystical, magical place right now anyway, so...
Well, I'm definitely introducing them for a fight later, because they are definitely a fight.
Personally, I kind of like the normal NPC interaction a little bit today. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like Nero and...
and Janet.
And Tabitha.
Or Tabitha, yeah.
Okay. Tabitha's a fun character. Actually, Tabitha and the mystical guys you are facing are all characters created by Jack Norris. So, credit where credit is due. They can all be found in the Due Vigilance product, the October Men.
Oh, nice.
So, for people listening who are interested in Vigilance Press products, the October Men Special Edition has those characters as well as others that haven't been introduced yet. So,
since they do come up in this game so much, I on Inferno on my character sheet, I actually linked that product with my character sheet. So,
oh, cool,
nice,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, let's see. Kogar is a bit—he's not appearing in any of our Vigilance Press products. Just a villain that I've been using in my games in one form or another for like 20 years now. He's a and he changes each time I write, start a new superhero setting, but he's always one of these guys that the players are supposed to love to hate kind of thing. So this time I wanted to kind of introduce that element of the kind of cosmic adventure into this campaign, because I eventually hope that you guys will be doing some cool stuff off planet as well as protecting Beacon City. So
yeah. Cool.
His personality kind of made me think of Wildcat, actually, from the Justice Society. Because he wasn't so much like calling us names and stuff. He was like literally giving us tips every time, like you know, like a good old uncle, you know, like he tough love, basically. It was almost like that, I felt like.
Well, he was definitely not there to defeat you. He was there to test you and in his perspective, you know, he was there to see if he had the right people to deliver what he was told to deliver.
Right.
So, it kind of gave him license to make the trip not as boring as it would have been otherwise.
Coolness.
But you guys will definitely run into those mystic characters again and some others as well. So But I think it's you know, we've run about 3 hours tonight, 3.5 hours, and I think it's time to let the viewers get some rest and you know, leave something for the next podcast. Hopefully we'll have some of our other players back again. I'm going to try and keep as many of you guys on board as possible. We will see who can be at each session, but I'll have you guys kind of, you know, keep in touch with me via email, and we'll see if we can't put together another session. I'm probably not going to run again. I may run again in August, but I can't guarantee it because we're so busy with Gen Con and everything coming up. So I will let folks know as soon as I know when the next podcast will be scheduled, and hopefully we can run something. Hopefully I can find time to do it in August, but I don't know how busy you guys are going to be coming up, so we'll have to suss all that out. But in the meantime, I had a great time. I think you guys all did some fun, cool stuff. I really like the summoning the dogs kind of thing.
So, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, yay. That was a cool power stunt. I like that. I think we can expect to see a lot more cool, fun stuff like that from the Jade Witch, because magic is such an easy descriptor to mold into power stunts.
Definitely.
And then, of course, you know, I hope everybody's character is working the way they want it to. Actually, that's a question I should ask. Is everybody getting what they wanted to, what they put into their character? I mean, are you all seeing, you know, getting back something out of it? Or is there some tweaking that you guys want to do to make the characters more fun?
If anything, she's more flexible than I thought she would be. So I'm very happy.
Okay. Starchild.
I'm happy with what I've got. Of course, what I got was random.
Right.
I'm having fun figuring out who he is and what's going on. The one thing I'm seeing with his powers at the moment is that I almost never need to use hero points, because virtually nothing I do is variable except for skill rolls. And yeah, doing skill rolls, I can see needing them. But right now, I think I just need to come up either with new ways to use the hero points I've got, or possibly look at ways of growing his powers in ways that allow a little bit more variability, maybe power stunting, some more psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. And if there's anything specific that comes up that you're not sure how to do, like you want to come up with a way to track or trace somebody based on like psychic powers, or if you want to look at any of the new power profiles that have come out recently, that do involve the sensory powers, like remote sensing, feel free to talk to me about that, because I'm a big fan of the sensory powers profile and other things. Those have come out since we built the characters, so if you want to update your characters with any of that new information, let me know.
Take a look. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely recommend the sensory power profile if you haven't seen it yet. The alternate rules on range of being able to basically fold remote sensing into communication, I think, is a really handy thing where it can allow you to basically expand your ranges in the same way that communication expands. But and that's something that you may or may not feel necessary for your given characters, and it would be an optional rule that we could use. Tempest, what do you think about your character? Are you happy with yours?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Are there any, like, kind of story aspects that you want to see more of, that you want to dig into with more with your character?
I think when we do finally dust up with the Octobermen, that's going to be fun and in his ballpark. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Cool. All right. So that, yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I was kind of tweaking things towards making that a possibility tonight, but also the Octobermen were kind of in control of that scene, so they wanted to, they were basically looking for an opportunity to walk away from it without engaging you guys just yet. So that's kind of how that worked out. But Time Slip is, how are you doing there, Tali? Are you happy with your character? Are you happy with the way he works?
Yeah.
Any story elements you want to get back to, or?
We've talked about just my various little side plot threads that you could always pick up if you want to. So anything to do with the chronometer is kind of cool. Anything to do with just learning more about the city and stuff is cool with me. But as far as my character, one thing that I really like about the Mutants and Masterminds setup, the way it is even with my pretty basic setup as far as actual attacks and stuff of that nature, you do always have that extra range of things that you can do with power stunning and things of that nature. So, so while I don't have a lot of attacks necessarily, I feel fine with it because of the fact that I can just power stunt that stuff. So.
Yeah. You guys have been doing a good job of coming up with ideas, and thanks, Tali, for jumping in there and doing the research that I needed to do in order to speed up allowing us to do that that summon.
Sure.
Thanks for me, too. That was a big help.
Yeah, that was actually... That's something I wanted to do, but it was kind of like, I didn't want to do a bunch of dead air while I was looking that up.
Absolutely. You know what's funny is on the Sunday game that I run, I actually have one of my friends who comes specifically just to be my assistant GM.
Really?
I made him a badge and everything on Inferno. He's the Kick Super Assistant GM. It's great because he handles the initiative stuff for me. He, if anything like that comes up, rolls questions or something like that, he can look that up and I can keep the story going. So, because of the fact that I have a guy that's willing to do that for me all the time, I tend to go ahead and like jump on the initiative of doing that for other people.
Definitely rely on you more for that in the coming episodes. That I really appreciate that. That was helpful.
Sure.
I'm sure that anyone listening can appreciate, anyone who's a GM can appreciate how handy it is to have somebody at the table. I usually have friends that I'll turn to that I call my rules lawyer friends.
Right.
You know, like my friend Brad is kind of like, hey, Brad, look that up, you know, and I'll continue running the scene while he quickly skims through the book and comes up with the official answer.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And if anybody listening wants to comment or offer criticisms or questions about the session or just wants to see specific kind of rules touched on in future episodes, please do. In future episodes, I do hope to have some more kind of larger scale combats, like we'll be including minions and maybe even getting into the mass combat rules eventually. So hopefully we'll get to see a lot more cool stuff coming up, some bigger fight scenes with more characters involved. So definitely look forward to that, and hopefully we'll all wish Jason Condro, who is currently traveling across the country, or he's packing to get ready to move to my neck of the woods, as it were, a good trip and a safe trip, and hopefully he'll be listening in and joining us back in the game for our next session, as well as Alex Williamson. We hope to have him back pretty soon. And for everybody listening, we hope to see you again next time. And feel free to comment on this post on my website on vigilancepress.com or on the Vigilance Press Podbean site, and let us know what you think. Until next time, stay vigilant.